Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Down in Front. We're doing Twilight again!
Again!
No. So long.
Not the second one, just the first one.
Yeah,
again.
We're just going
to
talk about
it. We didn't feel like we really said everything we wanted to say.
This is a new moon. It's a space station.
Yeah. The power of this vampire is fully operational.
I don't give a shit. Pop in your DVD.
I can't even endure my own joke.
Or blurry. Press play.
I bailed.
Press pause. When the Summit logo is faded to black. And by the way, we've talked about having a logo that fades down real quick. Jesus Christ, Summit. They wanted to add 5 minutes to the film, so they just made their logo the slowest fade down.
That cross dissolve could really be slower.
First frame, you perceive of all black, or press pause, and in a second, I'll say 3, 2, 1, and pause, as usual. At which point, I'll press play, and you won't press play, because you're not going to watch this. And we'll watch the movie together in perfect sync, or for you, like any other podcast. And it'll be like any other commentary, except, of course, this time with four friends in your head. Those friends are the same as last time. Myself, as always, Teague Christie. My friend, Eddie the Eddie Doty.
That is I.
Michael the Dorkman Scott.
Woo!
And Ryan. Still broken, Weber.
We have opinions on this movie, so you don't have to.
Yay!
Yeah.
I saw Twilight and New Moon within 4 hours of each other. I saw them both on the same night. And I liked Twilight more than New Moon. And that sentence, in abbreviated form, could be damning. Like, no. Let me put this... Twilight.
Can I quote you? I like New Moon more than Twilight.
There we go. That's a better way to put it.
The first movie, while the first act of the film Twilight, directed by Catherine Hardwicke, was very meandering and slow paced, I actually did enjoy the movie as being a movie. Right. The sequel, New Moon, which we're about to do a commentary for, felt.
Despite the chat room trying to talk us down from the ledge.
Seriously, the chat room is nothing,
say,
guys.
You guys
no,
whispered
really,
to each other. I didn't.
I just said in the chat room that everybody's like, seriously, guys, you don't have to do this. You've done your time. It's okay. Step backwards.
You made your point.
I don't be surprised if halfway through this we like put in another movie. I didn't just.
Yeah.
Like,
we Dude, could bail.
I'm just going to keep drinking.
This
That's
could be our first commentary where it's a 45-minute commentary of the first two acts.
Yeah, we'll see. I bet we
see
manage.
How long we last.
New
I bet
Moon,
we
can people always accuse, or at least I've heard it wagered against Harry Potter that...
I'm in to be tapped out.
Oh, okay. Chloe, right. Chloe is here, and Seth, you're going to end up on this goddamn commentary one way or another. We've got a live studio audience, as per not usual. The criticism levied against Harry Potter is that it just sort of drops you in. And
Wait,
if you
no, the opposite of that.
And if you don't know the movies very well, you can't really pick up on it. And I kind of understand, but I always felt like even the most recent, I think the one you could say that the most about is the most recent. It's the first of the seven. So Seven Part One, Deathly Hallows One, where it's just fucking movie go, play, and movie stop before it's over. Like, it's that kind of a vibe. And even that isn't nearly as much of a feeling of as New Moon is. Like, New Moon doesn't even feel like a movie in the traditional structure sense. It feels like these guys are doing this thing.
Just got an episode of a TV show.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's a fair criticism to levy against a sequel to a movie.
Well,
I don't either.
I'm just
Two
saying,
Towers doesn't fucking
No. You're totally right.
Any sequel is going to drop you back in. That's the
Empire is the
benefit
same
of a sequel. You
Cheaper
don't have
by the
to,
dozen two.
Yeah.
That's the
Okay, all right. Let him finish his point.
But my point was more not so much as a symptom of not having that, I feel like I don't know the characters. It's as a symptom of not having that, I feel like I don't have a structure. This movie sort of, if it's not going to introduce hardcore characters and then end the story in a really specific way, you lack bookends. And this movie does feel like it's just two more hours of this happen, as opposed to Twilight happens. You know, there's a slight difference to it. And I'm not saying that Twilight is Citizen Kane. It's probably like second or third behind Citizen Kane, but it's not Citizen Kane.
Right.
But at least it does have the movie is starting, and the movie's happening, and the movie's done. Like, that kind of happens, and it doesn't happen with New Moon.
Well, I think
I get sick of the bullshit in New Moon before I get sick of the bullshit in Twilight. Eddie, go.
I think we can split the middle on your opinion, because what I think it is that with Two Towers, I get what you're saying. I mean, Two Towers, absolutely, they don't wait for you, but within the first 20 minutes of Two Towers, you get there's multiple storylines going on. These two small people are clearly walking somewhere with a thing to kill it. And the awesome.
Party foul. Everything's fine. It didn't go. It didn't get anywhere.
Yeah, it
But
Eddie just dropped blue liquor on
myself.
My carpet.
Just myself. Yeah. Thank you, dear.
Anyway.
Keep that in the
You
podcast.
Keep talking. You can fix it in a second. The carpet's already fucked, man.
It's over.
I'm going to absorb the alcohol through my legs on this thing.
All right. This will be the first time a panelist has been talking while wiping the floor.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. So, what was the first? So, anyway.
Said
the,
first. Yeah.
My point is that Two Towers, you get right off the bat, you get the idea that these people want to fight these orcs. These people want to kill a ring. You get that. You understand that here, and it's just I get what you're saying in that it's just sort of muddled. You
it's
don't
more
really.
Twilight.
It's Twilight, but you're like, okay, why do I care? You're thinking like, okay, clearly the first movie must have established that why they love each other and why it's so important and all this other stuff. Where it really didn't do that in the first movie. So the heavy lifting that was supposed to occur at some point never actually happens. So,
yeah.
This movie sucks. Twilight, you can say.
These are heavy microphones, okay? I was holding it up for Eddie, and it's got like a 10-pound weight on
Twilight
the
Twilight has a beginning, middle, and end. It is a movie that happens. There's clear craftsmanship and care that went into it. Who directed it? This is Chris Weitz. Who directed this? Director of American Pie, About a Boy, and The Golden Compass.
Yep.
Which is a fascinatingly diverse filmography. And I actually like Chris Weitz. I think he's a good director. I don't see how the story kind of comes together.
How do you feel about the Chris Blacks?
Ha ha ha, Chris Weitz. Actually, the best Chris Weitz performance is in a movie called Chuck and Buck. Please go see it. Directed by Miguel Arteta, I think, and starring... Oh,
Chloe liked that.
Yeah, go see it. That is an interesting little film. This is not.
Cool. Michael Dorkman Scott, listeners who were there years ago when we did the first Twilight will recall that you knew a little bit about it because you had read the book and you also had opinions.
Right.
Do you have...
Like you do. Do we, like
do,
I do.
Do you have opinions about New Moon? By the way, this is one of our first like hardcore drinking commentaries in a while. So,
hence the spilled drinks on the floor.
Yeah.
How do you feel about New Moon?
I think
as compares to the first film, not the book.
Okay.
Hmm.
I don't know. I think in terms of this, like I said before, I think the books get better as they go. So I think New Moon is a better book than Twilight was. Like, it was the kind of thing
that's the opposite of what Teague was asking for.
I know. But I will say, it's the kind of thing in the books where Twilight, like I said before, I had to kind of like, oh, God, like, put it down every other paragraph and kind of shake it off or whatever. And New Moon started...
Take a rape shower.
Yeah. And New Moon started to occasionally get my guard down and then would sucker punch me. Like, there'd be little periods where I was like, oh, hey, this writing doesn't quite suck. Oh, God. You tricked me, you book. It started to improve in New Moon, and, it still suffers from the weird imbalance of meandering around for 400 pages, and then some plot shows up in the last 100, and is like, hey, what's up, guys? As a movie, I see what you're saying, although I do think it's... They try to at least do something interesting with, and now Edward's gone. So what's she gonna do? You know, but
the same movie's gonna happen again with a different mythological
figure.
Right.
It is very much, and I that is something that amuses me about it. But it is kind of, like you say, it's kind of the same thing happening, and there's no plot. There's nothing really driving it forward other than the relationship. Mm-hmm. Until the last act. Although I will say that I do buy her relationship with Jacob more than I did with Edward.
Yeah.
So Ryan Weber, how do you feel about Twilight New Moon?
You know, I actually, if I was asked to compare this to another movie in terms of the vibe I got while I was watching it, I think a lot of Spider-Man 2.
Really?
Actually.
Interesting.
Because I feel like it...
I recall we shat on Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
For the record, I like Spider-Man 2 fine.
I liked it okay.
Down in Front is not a monolith of opinion. So.
You know. I mean, in terms of it, it launches into...
You're a Buddhist. You're not allowed to have opinions.
Fair enough. I shed my desire of a good film with Spider-Man 2.
Anyway, well...
Okay. Why Spider-Man 2? That's a weird one.
No, well, because I feel like Spider-Man 2, much more than the first one, and that's not the case in Twilight necessarily, but it immediately got into the relationships of the characters, and that was primarily what it was about, and it was about feelings and then scenes that were sort of like motivated these internal revelations, and it's like, okay, I'm going to not be Spider-Man, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. No, I can't do that now, so I changed my mind, and this kind of a thing. And this movie is... like I explained in the first one, I don't feel like the characters and the relationships, particularly between Bella and Edward are well set up, so I'm not on board with it from the beginning in terms of their love for each other, which is actually just more like an obsession based on the fact that they seem to think each other is hot.
Yes.
So
obsession is a really good word.
Obsession.
For it.
Obsession and lust.
Especially in this
one. Yeah,
and
lust, yeah. It's confusing lust for love, I think.
Cool.
And anyway, so yeah, they're yeah,
those better
are,
effects.
Those are the
better
big,
effects.
The picture now, yes, the things that I think when I watch,
you see
this,
how I spoon fed that to Ryan. Make this point too.
No. That touches on the bigger thing, which is like when I watched this movie, the first things I noticed were one, yes, the effects got much better. Number two, I feel like this movie was directed by somebody. Like there are shot choices in here and things that happen. I'm like, oh, wow, there's someone actually trying to make a movie here. Where I didn't get a lot of those vibes in the first one. So
you really see that in Eclipse too. When
yeah,
Slade
no,
takes over.
Catherine Hardwicke is not a very visually aggressive director. She's more about. She comes from the indie world. She comes from sort of interpersonal medium.
She's a visually aggressive lady.
Not really. She's not like. No,
I was trying to throw a compliment into the mix.
Whereas Chris Weitz was literally coming off Golden Compass when he made this, you know what I mean? So there's something at play there.
Well, we should kick it off.
Yeah.
Shall we do this?
Yep.
All right, you're at the point where the Summit logo eventually faded to black, like I am here. Finger on the button, finger on your mouse, mouse on your remote, 3, 2, 1, unpause. Why are we doing the Twilight Saga again, real quick?
That seems to be the question the entire chat room is having.
Because Brian and Trey, we knew they didn't want to. So
someone literally just said, I will donate $10 if you stop right now.
I got to the new moon taking a cue from the Summit logo, extremely long and slow.
Yeah. Maybe they were trying
but
to
the Eclipse logo, really, really cool. Actually, the opening title on that
I have not seen Eclipse yet, so
we didn't talk about this at all in the first one. What is the relevance of Twilight and the relevance of New Moon? Is it referring to, obviously
relevance.
They're all parts of
vampires are night things,
but they don't really go into that in the movie.
I know
vampires make night,
but they can
because
go
traditionally
out in, the
day, in vampire mythology, if you see the daylight, you die, and that's not the case in Twilight. You just get sparkled.
All the books are just named after lunar cycles, shit. Like that's all it is because night. You know.
Yeah, I mean you can relate it in some sense. I mean Twilight's as good a name as
a
any
new
for
moon,
a vampire thing.
Dawn.
New Moon is very much a you know, because that's when you're focusing more on the werewolves. And Eclipse is when shit starts really going bad, and then Breaking Dawn is when she becomes a vampire. So it's a new life, you
right?
Know,
right
blah,
here
blah,
at
blah.
The beginning, like in that first moment there in the whole Italy thing with all the people in
the
red
Dutch
stuff.
Shot.
They're doing the same thing as the first one, where it's kind of the oop phoning ahead to a part
right.
later, giving a little taste, and then you understand the context. And
parallel
in general, this movie kind of mirrors the first one in a lot of ways that are like. Maybe it was written this way, or maybe it's the movies, but it's just kind of like almost afraid to deviate from. Ooh, that worked in the first one. We should.
It's like
just
poetry;
do that
it rhymes.
Poetry, it rhymes.
I should stop wasting my time.
Yeah, this is how the book opens.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
fine.
This
well,
is how.
You know.
The book
there's
opens.
Nothing I've seen so
then
far
that's
that doesn't
a criticism
make me.
Of a writing.
There's nothing I've seen so far that doesn't make me want to punch it. Like, I want to punch everything so far.
our resident
sparkling is much better.
Sparkling much better.
Our resident goth representative inside.
Someone bought Trap Code Shine. By the way,
points out that sunlight equals death is a movie trope, not present in early vampire novels. Which
sure.
I didn't know, but of course
no,
I
no, that's
didn't.
True. Yeah, actually, yeah. The original
Dracula
Bram Stoker
goes walking around.
Yeah,
the original Bram Stoker
you know,
Dracula. Their powers are significantly diminished. In the sunlight, but they can walk around just fine in the daylight.
I don't think that necessarily discounts things, though, because think about the zombie tropes that are from, you know, movies. I mean, it's movies are like, you know,
well,
that's
yeah,
pretty much where zombies come
that's
from.
A
zombie's hunger for brains is not original going back to the idea of undead in mythology. That's
absolutely.
Just something, that's just a movie device. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so this is, in some ways, this is a more traditional, oh God, I can't believe I'm saying this. Is a more traditional. I can't even say it. It's not.
Eddie, is this
it's
a more
foreign.
Traditional interpretation of the vampire mythology?
In no fucking way. But the idea is that it's one aspect that doesn't get explored enough. I feel like you should have vampires that can walk around during the day. Blade made a thing of it being the daywalker and whatnot, which is true to the comics. Blade was the daywalker.
I love
the
very subtle Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
next right. Day.
They
right.
start. They start bashing you in the face
start,
with that. Pretty
yeah,
soon,
they start gang stomping you and with fucking yeah.
And by the way. Imagery. That's totally like it's as a you know someone I'll wave my dick around a little bit. Someone with an English degree.
All right,
let me say.
Yeah,
someone who's good with the speaking.
If
you
put
are
some kind of used to that. Thing,
exactly.
Yeah.
If you are going to, if you are comparing your romance to Romeo and Juliet, you have fundamentally misunderstood Romeo and Juliet.
Why?
Right.
Because Romeo and first of all, it's a tragedy. Basically, Romeo and Juliet is the anti-romance. Romeo and Juliet is basically saying, no matter how much you love each other, the universe don't owe you shit, and it's not going to work out the way you think it is just because you want it to.
Right.
It's fatalism.
That's what Romeo and Juliet is.
It's fatalism. It's more. It's almost like Schopenhauer in its level of pessimism and negativity.
All right. We sound smart for drunk.
And I will say that this does. I mean, the part where I was just like, okay, all right, was when he thinks she's dead and then he's going to go.
Right.
And
yeah,
like,
none of these.
Himself, and it's
yeah,
like, all right,
here's
okay.
the thing. I don't care.
It's literally based off Romeo and Juliet in a lot of ways.
I don't care what kind of IQ you're born with. If you live for 200 years, you pick up a thing or two.
Mm-hmm.
And you these none of these actions are motivated by people who with even a modicum of intelligence. And
oh, and we can. We should get into here's where the mythology starts to both build up and break down.
Yeah, all at once.
In terms of the
in,
sense
in what
it
ways
made.
Does the mythology of vampires per Twilight grow in New Moon?
Of the Volturi. We learn that there's an underlying
the sacred order
law
and the law
that they have.
You get
so what are the rules that we're introducing in this movie? And we'll pay attention to them as we go through them.
You have to stay secret or they will kill everyone.
Do they explain why?
The Volturi will kill all of you. No, that's the thing. That's the kind of maddening thing about the Volturi. Why should we stay secret? The humans have no mechanism by which they can kill us. We're stronger than them. We're faster than them. They can't. We don't burn in the sun. There is no reason that the vampires...
We apparently have to be torn limb from limb and then burned.
Yeah, there is no reason that the vampires should not have enslaved humanity.
Right.
As opposed to staying underground and wanting to be
everyone.
Secret. Yeah.
Well, and that's and building off of that, what I would have been more interested in, especially from a Mormon author, is if she would have made her vampires like missionaries. Like, we're better than you. We're going to change all of you. We're going to convert you to our way of thinking.
If they, yeah.
That would have been far more interesting.
That would have been way interesting.
One of the genius things of the X-Men was that Stan Lee was all about taking a real-life thing and importing it into the fantastical. The X-Men was about race relations. The X-Men was born in the heart of the Civil Rights Movement. So you had the mutants, and then you had people like Magneto who were essentially like Black Panthers, who were like militant on the other side. The X-Men were the people, was essentially the Civil Rights Movement in the middle trying to bridge the gap between the humans and the mutants. And I feel like that's the kind of thinking that you would need to that you could explore in these sort of stories that never do. If you set up a ruling class like the Volturi that are coming up later on, you have to motivate them. You have to give them a worldview. You have to give them a reason and a motivation. You know, and that's played out in the comics. Magneto essentially sets up his own state of Genosha. He takes over Genosha at some point, but he's got his own colony.
Is
of,
that where Anakin and Padme were put up against the Styx and they had to fight the Aklai?
Yeah.
I know. Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, you can see the weight gain from Taylor Lautner at this point. He apparently
you guys were talking about that in the last one. I guess he was a skinny guy.
He was a skinny guy. Basically,
and they said, we don't buy you as the buff dude.
They almost recast him. They were like a gnat's ass away from recasting
him. In the book, he basically goes through this change when he becomes a werewolf and bulks up, basically. Almost,
is he actually becoming a werewolf
almost
or is he
overnight.
Growing into his werewolfness?
He's becoming a werewolf.
So he wasn't a werewolf in the first movie?
Oh,
no.
Really?
No.
How does it work that you are you infected with werewolf?
Well, what actually...
The whole family
is it like the clap?
What you actually find out, actually what it turns out in the mythology, these are not specifically werewolves.
Yeah.
There is a very specific... They're in the Twilight universe, although they never show up in any of the books, but they're referenced. There are actual werewolves who are called the Children of the Moon or something, who actually change at the full moon and blah, 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 blah. They're actual werewolves. But this is specifically with, his Native American tribe or whatever.
Right, because ethnicity equals exotic.
Who, by the way, she chose a real tribe and made up a mythology for them instead of just making up a tribe. But anyway.
Yeah, if you were Choctaw, guess what? You had four fingers.
Yeah. But so... they basically, as we, I think it's referenced in Eclipse. They basically, to fight the Cold Ones, which are what the vampires are called. They basically made a deal with their spirit ancestors, and they really liked the power of the wolf, so they became wolf spirits, basically.
Right, yeah.
So if they had like bears, they'd be werebears instead or whatever. It's a spirit. It's completely a spirit animal thing.
It's totally
so,
different from like, it's the like werewolves that we think.
Yeah,
of
it's like a familiar or something like
so,
that.
So
tribe patronus.
Yeah. So what basically happened is that anytime a vampire comes into the area, this is kind of activated in the adolescent boys of the tribe. And so because these vampires are sticking around, well, the reason, again, it doesn't go into it, in here, but it's clearer actually in the books. But the reason that Jacob hates Edward so much, aside from what he did to Bella, is right. that he blames the Cullen family for activating this wolf thing
yeah.
and this curse in his. You know, in his people. When, of course, it actually isn't the Cullens; it's all
right.
the bad vampires
right.
that keep interjecting.
Yep.
But that's one of the aside from Bella, that's one of the underlying sources of tension.
But see, how's that a curse? Because they have full they have full control over when and how they morph.
It mm-hmm. sure seems that way.
And
yeah,
they
do.
It seems like if they get pissed, then they are
they kind of lose control.
To,
it's like Home Intruder. Fuck it, wolf out. Like yeah. that's cool.
Wolf
like
out.
Please stick around. Like it's because they're not subject to the cycle of the moon. They don't turn into the
correct.
Yeah, they're independent.
But they are kind of in a weird way subject to like each other. Like there's an alpha of the group,
yeah.
and all if
right.
he gives you which comes up in this, if he gives you a command, you can't disobey it.
Small price to pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now is this? Part
I would
of,
agree. But still, it goes back to the larger trope of oh god, it's such a curse to be awesome. You know, which is not just a Twilight.
The tangent we're on was started by asking how does the mythology build in this movie, and I feel like now we're starting to arrive at
well,
the
werewolves
second part.
Too.
Well, yeah, the second
werewolves,
part of it,
yeah.
which is you said the mythology also starts to fall apart in this movie. Is
well,
that
it's like what I was talking about. The Volturi, if you think about their motivations at all, they stop making sense
yeah.
really quickly.
They're a fridge priory.
Does it
yeah.
make more sense in Twilight, or not Twilight, in the next one, in Eclipse, because they, like, because I know they pop up in Eclipse a little bit, so.
Well, they are, and they're kind of like, but well, correct me if I'm wrong, because I was kind of confused by it, because I don't feel like it was really
because they come
very
to Forks at that point.
Well, yeah, they sort of make a little army or whatever.
No, they didn't make the army. The underlying reason, the part of the Volturi that break down is their underlying reason for existing, which is we have to keep this a secret. I don't buy that. I don't know why
okay.
that's the case.
Why don't you buy it?
Because why? Why would you need to keep it a secret? You have nothing to fear from the humans. You have nothing to fear from most, you know, aside from this one Native American tribe that turns into wolves, you have that's not a common thing.
And you have a substantive reason yeah. to think that maybe it's better than being a human.
Yeah, you're like I was saying, you're stronger than them, you're faster than them,
you don't die.
You never have to sleep, you don't die. They can't kill you. You know, it's like only you can kill each other. What are you so scared of them for?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Interesting.
So that doesn't make any sense to me.
It's
if
so
that
weird.
Had been explained, then maybe it would.
It just seems like Stephanie Meyer backed into the potential for awesome stories in the universe she created.
There's so much
sort of
here
like,
that's like, oh, it's that close to being sweet, but actually,
but then no,
because she's got to you know make
it's
little
like,
girls feel tingly in their.
It's like she's dealt a hand, and she
wow.
could have made a full house, but she just got two pair. Like
we'll
just
talk about this more. Two things.
Michael Sheen. Yeah.
Holy fuck! I love this guy.
I don't mind him in this. I think he knows exactly what movie he's in.
That's the thing about Michael Sheen. You know,
he's also Caster in Tron.
Yeah, and he's having a
Frost
blast
Nixon.
In Tron.
He was in Tron. He was in Frost Nixon. He was. We first saw him.
He played Tony Blair in like 9 different things.
Yeah. And interestingly, you know, as a little bit of trivia here, he's playing the leader of the vampires in Underworld. A similar thing. He's leader of the werewolves.
Werewolves, that's right.
Interesting.
Underworld.
By the way, one other fun thing for those with Netflix, type in Unthinkable. It's a movie that came out last year with Michael Sheen and Samuel L. Jackson and Carrie Ann Moss, where Samuel L. Jackson is a torture interrogator, and he's beating the fuck out of Michael Sheen playing Jules again, and it's awesome.
What I like about that is I saw the poster, and in the poster, Sam Jackson has his mouth open screaming.
Ah!
And I'm like, all right, Sam Jackson, you're using him right.
Yeah, but
not to be confused with Irreversible, which is also on Netflix streaming, which will give you nightmares for a few days.
But Michael Sheen is – I think he's become one of my favorite actors because, like you say, he plays Tony Blair and he plays a – you know, he's totally serious. And then he's in a movie like this. And in Tron, he hams it up, but here he doesn't. He's like, I'm going to do my best.
Very restrained.
He's very – he takes –
Well, in Tron, he was playing Ziggy Stardust.
Right. And he's exactly. He did it on purpose. And he said in interviews, and I love this about him, and I really respect him. He's like, I don't see a difference between playing the leader of the vampires in Twilight
and
playing Tony Blair.
Right.
Like
– Interesting.
It's got –
What was his reasoning?
My job is to make them real people. That's my job as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to figure out who that person is and then portray that person.
Yeah, the role of Caster in Tron has no real political significance and not even really that much
screen
time.
But he does call into effect the best track on the soundtrack coming in the movie.
Yeah, D-Rest, absolutely.
So but, I appreciate that, man.
I saw him at the Comic-Con panel for Tron, and of all the guys who are up there, he was having the most fun. You could tell he really just enjoyed being a part of it.
He loves
it
what he's doing.
And loved Good Tron for him. Specifically. I love that guy. You know, and not to say that Jeff Bridges didn't. He absolutely loved revisiting the character too. But it was just nice to see Michael Sheen kind of come full circle with it. You know?
The other thing I was bringing up for later discussion when we start seeing
he's hotter than Edward. Emmett is hotter than Edward.
I'm kind of with you on that as a straight married
the guy that's standing next to him or the blonde guy?
Yeah, the guy standing next to him.
Kind of way hotter.
Nah. Really?
Yeah, okay, so that's still Nikki Reed, so she hasn't been recast yet.
I'll take Heroin Chic myself.
If someone in the chat knows if Nikki Reed ever got recast for her role, I'm curious about that because I know there's
she looks different in Eclipse. Maybe it's the same girl, but she looks different in Eclipse.
Because Catherine Hardwick brought her on to Twilight. Basically, anything Catherine Hardwick does, she brings Nikki Reed along for her in some way. Oh. She was in Lords of Dogtown as well, so I don't know, but she doesn't work a lot outside of the movies that Catherine Hardwick does. So I'm curious as far as like if she came along.
This happened like 10 minutes ago, so if I misattribute this, I apologize. But someone in the chat room, I think it was Jeremiah JW, pointed out visual effects supervisor, or at least creature supervisor for this film, Phil Tippett.
Oh,
it was Tippett Studios picture. And I totally buy it because I always think in this movie, some of the better CG animals I've seen.
Yeah.
The way they move, their personality is
which
much
is something
more,
that Trey has talked about, especially on Constantine.
Sure. It's very
he
much
was
a
like,
Tippett thing.
I recall asking Trey, like, what does Phil Tippett say to make it better? And he says, there should always be one member of the pack of CG creatures that is just shitty at being what it is. And in the background, you don't even notice him, but in the background, he
trips. The guy
trips.
That sucks, but he's like, oh, shit.
And you know, the way that Trey characterized it was,
that
poor fucking demon will never catch a soul. What a moron. But, like, having a, you know, I guess Trey had characterized Phil's opinion of this as being, it's more terrifying if it looks like calculated action that it's not doing right than if it's just attacking you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can see that this thing is thinking and it's an actual animal and it wants to kill you but it's trying to figure out the best way to do it, something about you, you'll pick up on it if it's doing it slightly wrong sometimes as a, you know, as a pack of animals, not an individual.
Well, yeah. So and,
you know,
and
it's,
it feels...
It's like sort of enlightened character animation.
Well, it brings life to it.
As opposed
it. Nothing
to the
moves.
Wolf runs over there. The wolf runs over there, and it hurts itself.
Yeah, nothing moves perfectly. You know, we were talking about it in Hellboy. How I don't remember what the dog, the resurrection hound,
sure.
How it like slips trying to go around the corner and stuff like that.
It's injecting reality.
Exactly. You know? That's what would happen with momentum and stuff, you know. But a lot of animators don't think of that, you know, it seems like. But especially earlier ones. I will say the last scene, which we talked over, is another scene that is you're watching. And, like, this is introducing a lot of really interesting ideas and things to play with. It's like.
What's the scene?
You know,
she gets her paper cut.
She gets the quickest paper cut.
She gets the most bloody paper cut.
It's like paper rape. It's like just, it's all over her finger.
She gets a paper cut.
Some blood gets on the carpet.
Jasper smells it. He's the
he's really upset about the carpet.
He's like, you bitch, my carpet.
He's the newest vampire, so he's the one having the most trouble resisting blood in general. And her blood is one of the most irresistible anyone's ever come across, as established in the previous one.
That's like pure MDMA. That's not cut with anything.
Yeah, and so he just loses his shit and is about to go just eat her face and. Edward freaks out and throws her across the room to protect her, but he hurts her worse than
he chucks her through a coffee table.
Yeah, basically.
Like, baby, I didn't mean it. I love you.
Yeah, and then you know, there's also an potentially interesting thing that they don't do much with, but it's the fact that everyone has a power in this family, and Jasper's power is he can manipulate people's emotions. So
they only do that like once.
Yeah. So you've got the
ever.
Guy. They, you've got. Yeah. It was.
And I like
here.
How they burn the blood. I like it was like I've got. I can't keep this around.
Yeah. I
like,
can't this, do this. Yeah. Even for me, sooner or later, I'll lose my shit.
There's so many cool things you can do with vampires with addiction, and they don't fucking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But you know, I feel like there's a cool thing where you've got this vampire who controls everyone else's emotions, but he can't keep his shit together.
Right.
No. You know, there's something interesting there that you could play with.
The whole thing with that scene also is like, you know, they put it in the trailer and everything, so you kind of know it's coming. So it gives you a little time to think about it. But you know, okay. So because of this one incident, I mean, this really seems like they're playing it like this is the thing that precipitates.
Straw that breaks the camel's back.
Boy, no, I gotta fucking get the hell out of here.
One
I'm like,
thing.
That
and
seems
that's
like
enough.
A drastic overreaction. This is like. Anyone having Thanksgiving and your uncle gets a couple of glasses of wine in him and mouths off at your mom
taking a swing or whatever.
You know, it's like, you know, come on.
Speaking of using vampirism as an allegory for addiction as opposed to sex, did you guys ever see – there was a film called – I think it was called American Zombie about recovering zombies who were – It was something like that. I think you've seen it.
I saw American Zombie. They weren't recovering.
But it was people that were trying. It was zombies that were
zombies trying
zombies
to act
that
like
were trying not to be zombies.
Some of them.
But then, but there was a couple characters in there that were trying not to be zombies. But there was also this whole zombie convention where they went. And it was sort of an iffy thing.
Yeah, there was an underlying thing where it's like actually they are totally going to be zombies when they can just get their act together.
Right.
They're kind of all slackers. Though,
I can't
is
think
the problem.
Of that's the reason I bring that up is I can't think of other examples of modern fiction, and that's it's a limitation of my knowledge, not a limitation of the genre, but I can't think of another example where vampirism or werewolfism or being a zombie has ever come up as a addiction subplot.
It has, and I'm trying to think of what it has come up as, but
but something where it's like strung out needing blood.
There, Buffy did an episode where it kind of came up as evidence when there was a season where Spike had a chip implanted in him by the government that prevented him from actually biting humans. And so there was an act out where he looks like he's about to attack Willow, and it acts out right as he lunges, and then they come back and they're both sitting on opposite sides of the bed, and he's like, I don't know what happened. I normally can do that. And she's like, well, you know, it happens sometimes. Like,
well, that sounds more like impotence.
You know, no, that's what I'm saying. It is an impotence thing. But there have been things that have dealt with it, like blood addiction, like the idea that they I think Blade actually did it. Blade had a thing where he has to inject himself with a serum.
Yeah.
And it's painful. Like the methadone is painful for him.
Right.
And he has to like fight that. And they're like, why are you fighting? Just give in. Like in the Blade movies, they don't really touch on that in the comics.
At the end of the first Blade, he finally just drinks a pool of blood and murders everyone. But
yeah. So I don't know what kind of message it's sending. Like. It's really cool that you're sober, but the time you go off the wagon, you're going to fuck shit up.
Although, to be fair, that's essentially the plot of Drunken Master 2 as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I don't know.
That would have had better fight scenes.
There's an argument to be made that because I am, we'll say, genre-wide, culturally a moron on the subject of vampires and zombies, if I can't think of one, that means there's room for someone to do a fucking badass one.
I don't think there's been a movie. There's been
stories. Imagine Requiem for a Dream with vampires.
Yeah. I would
that could totally work.
Holy shit. I want to go write that
told
right
you.
Now. There's a book series. I'll plug it right now since we're plugging better things than Twilight to go read.
That's why we're doing this, folks.
Yes,
we're
exactly.
You every alternative you have to something good as opposed to this. You're going to get 2 hours of that.
There's an author, and I've recommended him on my blog and my Twitter before, but for people who don't follow those things that listen to this show, there's an author named Charlie Houston. It's spelled Huston. Not, you know, it doesn't have an O at the beginning, just
yeah.
H-U-S-T-O-N.
Like Angelica Houston.
Yeah.
H-U-S-T-O-N.
Charlie Houston also writes comics, too.
Yeah, yeah, he writes comics, but he's branched off into novels. He's a great novelist. I've read a lot of his stuff, and I just love it. It's the books are addicting, like because it's like The Old Man and the Sea,
sure,
but that was which had no chapter breaks and just kind of kept going. But these books are awesome. He wrote a series collectively called the Joe Pitt Case Books, but they're about this vampire detective.
Yes, I've heard of those.
Joe Pitt. The first one is called Already Dead. Already Dead, No Dominion, Half the Blood of Brooklyn, My Dead Body, and there's one other that I'm not remembering.
I'll forgive you for not knowing them.
But Already Dead is the first one. Every so often it actually becomes free, the Kindle edition. He's put up for free a couple times. Great story. It's got vampires and zombies come up occasionally, at least in the first one. And it talks about blood addiction and stuff like that. And it's very much kind of a literal underworld. It's like if the seedy underbelly of the city was just all this shit, you know, vampires and zombies and all that stuff. That's what New York would be like. And it's a great story and great style. I love the way he writes.
I forget what they call it in True Blood, but they do have like a blood methadone type fluid. Synthetic blood.
True Blood.
Is it true? Is that what
true
they call
blood,
it?
True Blood, yeah.
That would be very cunning of them to name their show that.
You guys got
and
on
to
other subjects, but I was going to bring that up as an example.
True Blood, yeah.
Potentially a different...
But they do treat it as a treatment for their addiction.
But honestly, True Blood is more of an allegory of coming out, like of being gay and coming out into society.
What do you mean?
Because the idea in True Blood is that, and the Sookie Stackhouse, is that they have to live secretly, but the second they come up with a synthetic blood, it's like, oh, it's okay to be a vampire publicly because I can take the serum and I can be a working member of society, but there's a religious group that's after them and all this other shit.
What's the gay analog for the synthetic blood?
Coming out. Well, they can come out into society.
It's acceptable to the society
It's legal at that point. It's legal to be... it's legal to be a vampire because you don't have to drink blood anymore.
The I guess the gay analog for the True Blood serum would be people realize that you're not going to rape all their children.
Exactly.
Basically.
It's not so much like
we didn't get a serum for that. Everyone just figured out that's the way it works.
Dorkman, I've always wondered, have you ever raped everyone's children?
No. But I'm young.
You're one
you
of the good
it.
Ones.
You have it. Okay, you can meet my son. Okay, cool. All right. Just again, you haven't? Okay, good. Just
you think you're all raped out?
Yeah, exactly.
You hide your kids, hide your wife.
Rape, lunch, rape.
Anyway.
This is the last time I'll ever see you until Act 2.
I don't really like his performance in this as much as Twilight and Eclipse. Well, and Eclipse, he does a really good job,
what did
too.
You like about his performance in Twilight?
I believed him as a romantic lead. I believed his interest in her. And that's a tall order because she's not giving him much to work with, I got to say. But, in this, I'm getting more of a Hayden Christensen off him in this one.
Really?
You know, I got to say.
I want to, for the purposes of elaborating on that thought now or in future commentaries, define a Hayden Christensen Keanu Reeves performance.
I think Hayden Christensen is way better than Keanu Reeves. I'm just going to say that.
You just added the Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, I didn't say Keanu Reeves. That's putting a word in my mouth.
And I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm putting words into the conversation to perhaps influence some conflict and get an actual answer.
Ladies, that's the worst, the forehead kiss. If a guy gives you the forehead kiss, he has no intention to call you ever again.
what characterizes a Hayden Christensen performance?
It's just I should say Hayden Christensen, Attack of the Clones. I mean, he seems to be kind of the same in everything I've seen him in.
I like Shattered Glass, man.
I like the movie. I didn't think he was great in it.
I like him in that, and maybe I'm not saying
he does
has a lot
put
of range.
On a better character. He does go into
the,
a character.
The franticness of trying to cover up his lies.
Michael Dorkman Scott.
You know.
Anyway,
when you say he reminds you of Hayden Christensen, what are you tapping into?
Dig
deep, man.
It's the opposite almost. It's almost like the director comes up to you and is like, don't emote. Whatever you do, I have a gun to your foot. And if I see a single twitch of emotion in your face while you're doing this romantic dialogue, I will shoot you.
You have to
in the
and then cut you.
The romantic dialogue. I don't like sand.
No, you have to be like, you have to indiscriminately love someone and not show it on your face.
Yeah. And it's just
indiscriminately
just turns into this completely wooden performance where it's just this monotone, like staring straight ahead and stuff like that, which sometimes can work, but I don't feel like it does here.
But
I'm not sure what the difference is.
But every example of that with both him in Twilight, in the Twilight series, and Hayden Christensen in the Attack of the Clones, is there not something to be said about the material they're given? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, like I feel it's almost like
I wasn't necessarily because I said I thought he gave a better performance in the first and third one. You know, I'm not necessarily indicting him. I just don't like him in this one, and it's probably the way he was directed. And here's where we get into, by the way, the moral black area.
I mean, she
gets broken up with. Now she can't find her way out of the woods
that she's familiar with from childhood.
Basically, her character is made up of every romance novel cover where a woman is slapping her forehead with the back of her hand.
Right.
Like not knowing what to do. Mr. Beauregard, I can't carry on.
I do believe I have the vapors.
Yeah, like I don't know, man.
Chloe's in.
Chloe can get over anything.
Yeah.
I swear to fucking God. You can get over anything.
She has
You're
the biggest
that you find this to be implausible because she's hopelessly in love with him.
Inspirational words.
Don't you believe in love?
She has the biggest glass of wine I've ever seen, by the way, right now.
This movie would drive me to drink too. I don't begrudge Chloe that.
I was
at
serious.
All.
I'm just saying, it's awesome.
Chloe and Seth are both going to end up on this goddamn commentary.
No, I've been wanting to shoot myself in the face. No, you can get over anything. Fuck y'all.
No, I fully agree. Wow, I got loud there for a second.
Sorry, I was trying to turn it up for her.
No, I fully agree. And
you guys are totally welcome to the mic, but walk to the mic.
The thing. She gets better when a shirtless Taylor like carries her.
Not
off.
Him. Not him yet.
It's
the pack alpha.
By the way,
I
love
this
actor,
Graham Greene.
Yeah, he was
Graham Greene, man.
I know him most from
Academy Award nominated for Dances with Wolves.
I recall him from Maverick, and I loved him in Maverick.
Dances with Wolves. He's the chief in that.
I gotta say,
awesome.
I did not love him in this.
No. Of course not.
He's not to be confused with the author Graham Greene, because that's a very different fellow. But
good. I've totally heard of him.
There's a 50s author named Graham Greene that's a big American treasurer type guy. Graham Greene, very good. Native American, traditional, obviously.
Is this
basically
the guy?
He's stock Native American chieftain number 4 that you see in movies over and over again. Which is sad because he's so much better
than
that.
Same shot that they just used. The same push-in on bare-chested guy breathing heavily.
Yeah.
Who carried Bella back from the woods?
Yeah.
That'd be a better title for this movie.
Yeah. Now this
bare-chested guy and apathetic girl.
Everyone pay attention to the footage. Watch what's happening on the screen.
Yeah.
This is a cool effect.
This is actually an interesting I gotta again give it to him in terms of adaptation page to screen, because what they did, what she
did
they
skip like 25 chapters here?
Well, what she did in the book was literally, it would be the kind of thing where before it was broken up into kind of sections and stuff like that. So you would get like a title, you know, a kind of
October.
Subtitle page where it would be January, and then it would be part of the story, and then it's like February, and then that part of the story. In the book, it's literally October, and there's nothing after that except a page that says November. You know, December, blah, 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 like that.
You
so
have to flip through pages
you
that
have to
say
flip through several pages that just say months, and they have no content other than that.
This
so
is one
that's
of those first moments
here.
Where, like I was saying in my intro, I'm like, oh, this feels like it was directed by somebody.
Right.
Yeah. This is similar to kind of what they did. They did a similar approach with Requiem for a Dream, because when they adapt the book, they talk about – there's a whole chapter about her – the mom character cleaning, and they do that time lapse motion control
shot.
I remember
seeing another moment like this, and actually sadly being like, oh, it's like the thing they did in Twilight.
Before we move on, I want to bring up one of the things that you might not have noticed that would be tricky about the photography of that shot, which was a visual effects shot, which is the brightness value of what's going on
inside
the
window. Dialing up the lights on
when
her.
She's looking at snow, she's white, and in the other seasons she's a little less lit from the front, and you didn't notice it happening until you saw the window. That's a subtle change, and it's a good job.
Yeah.
She's nothing without her man, ladies.
Yeah, seriously, this would make
God. She has night terrors without her.
She has night terrors. She sits at a window. She ostracizes herself from her friends. She's driven to suicidal acts.
She puts her hair back in a ponytail, which is much less attractive.
She dresses in neutral earth tones.
By the way, her poor father, I forgot to say it on the last one.
You know, his thought process is like, God damn it.
Yeah, after breaking his heart to save him in there, and she, you know, they finally kill the whatever the hunter's name is.
Yeah.
She goes back and they go to prom and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I guess I'll go to prom, and like shakes his hand or something or just leaves. And I watched it with my roommates and they were like, I will never forgive her.
Yeah.
If anyone deserves a hug in this movie, it's him. And she
before
doesn't
she
give him a hug
right.
before she goes to the prom.
I would love to see a movie. I would love to see a movie that is based around the father of the character that strange supernatural happenings happen to, and they've just got to deal with the fucking wreckage of all this shit.
Yeah.
You know, because that's more interesting. Like, of like, I don't know what's going on with my daughter, and like, all the, you could.
He would be an interesting character. Later on, basically, when she becomes a vampire, and also when she gets pregnant with a vampire baby thing.
That nearly murders
spoiler,
her on the way out.
As a girl who had a father who. Literally
did you?
Dealt with this shit.
Uh-huh.
Was like, yeah, no, you deserve a lot of credit. I didn't hug you at that time, but no, you deserve a hug.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like a whole lot of hugs.
Yeah.
Like from the time I'm 18 till now, I'm like, oh, I love my dad.
Yeah.
Because he dealt with my bullshit.
Right. Yeah.
Because that was bad. And I was, no, she sucks more than I did.
Mm.
But, because she's not aware and she thinks she deserves it and she probably will for the rest of her life and that's retarded.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, Bella sucks a lot.
Yeah.
And like Oatmeal said, you can just call her Pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she, pants. Yeah, later on, they basically try to tell her dad, Charlie, what's going on. He's like, I don't want to know. I don't explain.
Yeah.
Do not explain. The most that he ever finds out is Jacob. Like, he doesn't know what's going on, and he thinks something's weird, and Jacob, to demonstrate it, turns into a wolf in front of him. He's like,
yep, that's enough.
Yeah, he's like, all right, that's my line.
Yeah.
I accept that something's going on here. I'm not going to ask any more questions, and I don't want to hear any more answers. I'm just going to go with this.
Right.
So what do you guys think of the change in her character to be an adrenaline-seeking thrill junkie?
Not happy about it.
I don't buy it. I don't. Think I mean there's a few things
there's
wrong.
More interesting ways to do it.
I will say like there is a visual storytelling problem with when your male, like what they do right here, when your male,
the
lead,
Obi-Wan ghost,
yeah, when your male lead is not, well, I give Chris Weitz credit for coming up with this, because this is not in the book where she sees, you know, him appearing.
She hears his voice,
she hears,
book,
but like,
yeah.
You have to have a way to keep your male lead present throughout act two, and he's not here. And I give Chris Weitz credit for, like, sort of... I feel like the directors of this are just doing damage control in a lot of ways, and I feel like that's his effort.
The
okay.
whole movie is damage control.
Yeah, it's literally just the kid with the dam sticking all the fingers in the holes, like, which ones do you want to plug? And this is one of them, and I give him credit for doing that, but there's a huge problem with the idea of... I think there's better ways. I mean... Even in the universe that they've created, like, find another dude. And yes, I know she does that with Jacob, but the idea of trying to push herself to these thrill-seeking moments, it just seems random. It just seems not even consistent with the world she's created.
And again, push – well, the thing is in the book, and again, this is the big problem with it, with, you know, if your man leaves you, do anything you can to remind yourself of him, because that's what this is. Her whole thing
–
because every
it's
time –
all about getting to see his little Obi-Wan.
Every time she thinks of danger, he steps in to try and stop her as her little Jiminy Cricket or whatever. And so she's like, I want to intentionally – tweak his nose, basically tweak the nose of my conscience,
right?
So that I will, in the book it's here, but here at sea it's like, that's the only way to bring back Edward for me,
right?
Is to try and kill myself because that will remind me of him and blah blah blah.
Okay. It makes more sense.
It's never made clear. It seems pretty clear that it is literally just in her head. It's not a weird connection thing that they have.
Well, yeah, because she keeps blowing him away.
Yeah, that's what she's on about. She's like, the more I do this, the more I will see him, and that's why I'm doing this.
Did you like the book New Moon better than the book Twilight?
Yes.
Why?
It was better written in very...
on a paragraph for paragraph level or on a story level?
A little bit of both. I think paragraph for paragraph, there were moments that didn't make me flinch as though I were being punched in the head. There were pretty much none of those moments in Twilight, and there were some of those moments in New Moon, and there were even more of them in Eclipse, and then Breaking Dawn was actually readable. But I do think that New Moon is a better book than Twilight.
Hmm.
Possibly in large part because Edward's gone a lot of the time, so they can't tell each other how awesome they are.
Right. And there's probably more doubt and self-loathing. I don't know. I like this.
The one thing is, I believe, again, in the movie and in the book, I believed her relationship with Jacob a lot more than with Edward. And in fact, to the point where I was like, if you're going to be with someone, it should be with Jacob, because this whole time you're sitting here going, oh, well, like, she basically over time starts to talk herself into, well, if Edward never comes back, I guess Jacob's okay. And I was like, okay. Now you don't deserve Jacob. Now Jacob deserves better than you.
Jacob is like the only noble character in this. Because he's a pure guy. He genuinely wants to help her. He genuinely loves her or her kid or whatever.
And for
the fuck.
Once, they actually develop a long-term relationship where they grow closer.
That evolves.
Over time.
That changes from quasi-romantic
it's
to
It's not
friendship.
Based on this movie just is, like, oh my God, he's hot.
This movie is actually about their relationship.
Right. And that's the thing. And for me, Taylor Lautner is not a good enough actor to pull off maybe what are potentially nuances to this character that could exist and actually make this movie somewhat worthwhile.
I think he's doing an okay job with the material, like we said before.
I think you hit it. He's doing okay.
Yeah.
And I think in order to make this better than not okay, he needs to be better than okay himself as a performer. And I think I think it's one of those things where it's the actor. It's not anybody telling him he has to do this. He has to figure it out on his own.
In the chat room, Jacqueline points out down in front, Team Jacob.
I was gonna
out you, Michael, and just be like, so, Team Jacob here.
If I have to choose between the two of them, yeah, Team Jacob. But like I said before, I'm basically Team Fuck Bella.
Yeah,
both of you guys should get together. And by the way, I think aside from just being a big gay movie in that sense, but I think it would have been a much more interesting movie if you take Bella out of it and it's about fucking Jacob and Edward falling in love.
Yeah,
and how
way
fucked
better.
Up and complicated that would have been.
That's when you get Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, exactly. That's Preacher. Exactly Romeo and Juliet and how to get around that.
Preacher.
Chloe has something to say.
That is not this movie.
Huh?
It's more interesting.
Well, that's
well,
true.
You know,
yeah.
Preacher, the central premise of that is that an angel and demon fall in love, have a baby named Genesis, and it becomes this thing of unbridled power that destroys fucking everything.
Wow,
and,
man.
You know.
A vampire and a werewolf falling in love. That's like...
Yeah.
Put that in Requiem for a Dream with Vampires.
That's a little bit underworld.
Yes.
It's a little bit underworld.
Dude, that's
but
what
he's not. But he's not. In
that
underworld,
case, your idea sucks.
Yeah, in underworld, he's not part of the. He's bitten by a werewolf and becomes one, but he's not part of the werewolf.
He's not
culture.
The culture.
Yeah.
He's a.
Right.
He's like a keyhole that we
exactly.
see ourselves through.
want, yeah, you should write the Vampire Requiem for a Dream thing and then have that be a thing.
I think
you're welcome. Okay. But there should be, Jared Leto is a vampire and Jennifer Connelly is a werewolf and they have different drugs.
Uh-huh.
But then the werewolf has to do some crazy shit with a mean, weird black guy. And then they, I guess, Jennifer.
So you
Connelly,
want me to literally write Requiem for a Dream with werewolves and vampires?
It worked, buddy. And then you have the werewolf butt fucking another werewolf with a two sided dildo in front of the people. This could work.
Man, I really got to see Requiem.
You haven't seen Requiem?
Yeah, Requiem. Holy shit! Okay,
dude,
it's good. You'll watch it once in your entire life.
I keep being told I need to be like.
I own
for it.
It. I own it on DVD, and it's still shrink wrapped. Like it's still.
I did that for a while. I actually bought it sight unseen, and I was like. I'd look at it and I'm like, I'm not in the mood. And then eventually I was like, I'm still not in the mood.
Dude, you could do that with a werewolf, a vampire, and a zombie.
Yeah. There was a script on the Hollywood blacklist this recent year called The Kitchen. No, the vampires must team up with the zombies to fight literally everything that you could think of.
False equivalency, because the vampire banks blood or else they die. That's one thing werewolf that will kill them. Werewolf just turns into a fucking werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as Willow says in Buffy, three-day round. Have to worry about they really only have to worry about those 3 days that the moon is out, And then if you play with the mythology where these guys can just sort of, or like the druids in Warcraft where they can just pop into a werewolf form and pop back, there really is no downside at all.
Underworld is the same.
Yeah,
the lichens
can just
go
in
and out. They're not controlled by the moon.
And so, therefore, it's a bit of a false equivalency. Like, it's not dual tragedy. One tragedy in the sense that they are—they call werewolf or lycanism a curse, but it's not really a curse. I never got that. I never got how werewolf was
a curse in the sense that someone puts this spell on you.
Sure, yeah.
That you can't control.
Yeah.
But as you say, lycanism as opposed to straight up lycanthropy of being controlled by the moon.
Then that's saying. But, again, and not to reference Buffy too much, but Oz basically locked himself in the library for 3 months. Really it. You know? I mean, sometimes the cave
would
break.
That's what you have to get into eventually. Yeah.
But that's it's a zero-sum game because that's ultimately you have to out for you.
Right.
There's not a lot of options beyond that unless you tweak the mythology.
So she's had another night terror, by the way.
Because she can't live without her man. Ladies, I can't stress this enough. Without a man, you're worthless.
Yeah.
You need to get this through your thick
heads. If you're not screaming in the night in desperate desire for your man, you're doing it wrong.
Currently, my wife is at home throwing bricks through windows because I'm not there.
Yeah.
She has a son, so that's kind of like a male. That helps
a little tiny bit, 22-inch bit. Like, that's, that...
Eventually, if you died, she'd be okay, but it would take about 20 years.
She'd have to find another man.
Exactly.
She'd have to find another man.
But to help her fix her motorcycle.
Right.
She'd be, halfway sated because she had a man to raise.
She needs someone to, tell her what to do.
Exactly. But if you had a girl, no, she's fucked.
Right. Do we know what Bella's interests are? Does she have hobbies?
Yeah.
No.
Does she have,
Edward?
A music preference?
Having nightmares about Edward.
She has the most boring Facebook page. Interest, Edward. Occupation, Edward lover.
Oh, okay. But
it's
to be
Edward,
fair,
but it's in a very large font that's red
her
and
name
italicized.
Is Pants?
She's not on Facebook. She's on MySpace because you can trick it out with glitter fonts and shit.
Yeah. To be fair, we're saying, her interests are Edward and blah, blah, blah. I went to high school with people whose MySpace pages turned into that when they got in a relationship.
Yeah.
I do have to say. Yeah. That is a thing.
But Edward's 107.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Ryan, how are you feeling about this windshield reflection?
Yeah, not to... Well, it's fine enough not to bother you. The interesting thing about... Okay, we're going to talk about windshield reflections.
Go.
Dude, fucking please.
Because we don't have subtitles, so we don't know what they're talking about. It's probably bullshit anyway.
They're just
talking. I like things, too.
No,
things
you don't. You just like Edward.
Oh, that's right. I like things that are Edward.
I'm good for you. No.
Windshields.
Yeah. Well, okay, so if folks at home who... have After Effects. Windshields are 45-degree angle, so if you actually look at it, think about shooting a laser at a mirror and then bouncing it. And you're bouncing it and it's going up. So what you'd actually see if you look at real car reflections is you see what's up. It's as if you were laying in the back of a flatbed and looking up, with your feet in the direction the car is going. And so you'd actually see the tops of trees going by, upwardly, not looking down a street and then a mirror that's going
by. Look at it now, because they're actually parked in
now
a real place.
Now it's an actual reflection. Although this cliff is not real and not very
But when he's standing next to it, you can see the trees, and it's exactly what you're talking
when
about.
When they pulled up in that
angle,
shot, you can tell, Mm-hmm. Yep.
These aren't really bad comps, though.
No. When they go
the cliff
to the
and stuff,
there are certain
good
ones when they're in focus where it's like the... No, that's all fine, but these guys don't feel in you know, placed.
Although,
in there.
Although to be fair, they do have the benefit of, oh, it's overcast everywhere all the time.
Right,
that's a comp so, right there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. It's just the guys. I mean, the cliff and everything looks fine. It's great. Yeah.
The cliff
probably
is the backplate. The guys are just on. Okay.
Yeah, and it's funny because you know, for the most part, the effects got radically better in this one.
Oh yeah,
you know, the wolves are very good, and their speed blurring thing is very cool because it's almost like they're fluctuating out of like an invisibility thing.
Yeah,
I can tell you they cut Twilight on Final Cut with like no Unity, like I mean, or no sand. Like it was a couple. Like they just cut it on drives. Like it was not. They did not have. We had a better
Do you know
setup.
That or are you guessing?
No, I know that because I saw their setups.
He was in the room.
I was in the room. I was often in my office late, and I often. Just a heads up, if you hire me for something, which I'm staff somewhere else now, but if I ever get hired somewhere else, I will poke around at night wandering where I shouldn't be. That's how Joe Dante, that's how I ended up in your office back in 2003. Just Ooh. Heads up. But no, so I poked around their offices and I saw their setups, and I mean, we had a better setup on our Discovery show than they had cutting Twilight.
Nice.
So.
Well, you know. I really feel like they didn't know if it was going to be a hit or not. You know, when they made
there was
the
some trepidation.
Movie.
I know. Yeah. Development wise, they had good feelings about it, but there's a reason why there's relatively no ones in the first movie. It's not like Edward is played by, or it's not like the father of the Cullen clan is played by Brad Pitt. You know what I mean? There's a reason for that shit.
Yeah, this series was star making, not you know it didn't use stars.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, no one. Kristen Stewart was sort
oh
of known.
God. Did you
for,
see that? How over her. Her ghost boyfriend touches.
Yeah,
her
there are right. some great right. cream her pants shots. Yeah, come out, but there are some wonderful shots where she's just like.
Yeah, Bella is very popular with the cry while masturbate crowd, but as for a mainstream audience, I wouldn't say it's.
I never had to do that.
Yeah.
If you ever watch Mulholland Drive,
in my defense,
Naomi
it
Watts,
was Valentine's Day. Okay,
that to me was the best acting of Naomi Watts' career, and she does that, and you have to uncomfortably watch her cry while she diddles. For
in what
Mulholland Drive?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I need to
and
see
she
too.
Cried after she diddled, about diddling, actually.
And then she gets kind of pissed
not,
at herself.
Not in the movie. I mean, literally, Naomi Watts was pissed that, I guess, she didn't realize she was being taped while masturbating for a film.
Oh, okay, it was surveillance footage? Okay,
yeah,
got it.
They tricked her into that shit. It's like when Kim Kardashian took a full frontal nude picture and was like, I didn't know there was going to be nipples.
Yeah, it's like Bowfinger with masturbation.
I forget why he cuts his hair here. Like, there's because he goes short. Like,
well, it's part of the when he goes away and does the whole like werewolf thing.
Yeah, ladies.
There we go. Yeah. I'm never eating pizza again.
Cheez-Its, Storkman?
Yeah, exactly.
We got Cheez-Its and we got fudge cookies over here.
Oh my God, I need to stop eating everything and lose 40 pounds tomorrow. I'm going on a diet.
And if you do, you can almost be good enough for Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the lesson here, fellas.
You know?
Love a woman unconditionally. Devote your entire self to her, and she still won't pick you.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you have 1% body fat, you'll almost be good enough for her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
she will settle for you briefly.
We've been very sexist here. We've been talking about how misogynistic this movie is, but it's not got a great message for the boys.
It's
either.
It's an equal opportunity offender. Like
my personality doesn't matter at all to Kristen Stewart.
Exactly.
Neither do my abs. What am I supposed to do?
That's a very real thing for guys. There seems to be, especially in the nerd community, guys seem to think, like, if I be the best friend I can to her, one day she'll realize how great I am and love me.
No, not a fact.
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen, guys.
Absolutely not. You have to actually make a lightsaber fight video. So
there you go.
Oops.
That's what I did wrong. That's why I didn't have a girlfriend until junior
Says
year.
The guy, the only guy at the table with a kid.
Well, yeah. I don't know how
That's
the
what
fuck,
I did
wrong. I don't know how was, the fuck that happened.
By the way, I was
I'm talking about high school, like how it happened how
I have been I have been extremely shocked how completely the lightsaber thing has not cock blocked me over the years. I was for a long time I was like, I'm not gonna tell anyone about this.
Right.
Well,
how old
were
you guys when
chances.
You guys did the first one?
Like, he was 19, I was 20, I think.
Okay. So you're still in college at least. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Or maybe he was 18, I was 19, somewhere around there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about that.
Yeah.
To be fair, there's some padding here.
Yeah.
We can get away with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, certainly. We got you know, 2 hours here.
I don't even know what they're... But we're half at the halfway mark. We're past where we thought we'd have
really?
To bail.
It's halfway already?
No,
almost.
We're not. Oh,
shush.
For fuck's sakes.
No, we're not.
Oh, I
Shut
was
up.
Hoping.
We're
I was
15
hoping
minutes
hope.
Away from the halfway
I'm
mark.
I'm rounding.
By 15 minutes?
I'm round. Yes. Man. That's how you round up when you're past the halfway mark. Mm. Didn't you learn maths?
Maths. Oh, God.
Maths and English.
You guys want to wrap this up?
I tell you what, no. But I don't. I honestly don't remember what they're talking about right now.
Yeah, who is this fucking?
Okay, so this is the part we got young.
You
Edward
just saw
Norton
this,
here.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're doing is he's basically trying.
He's
to
actually
hit,
a pretty.
He's
big,
trying to. No, he's the other.
He's trying to move in.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to move.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah, he's the. He, yeah.
He's the next normal guy who's not a werewolf.
He's the Xander. After,
listen, yeah. Okay. Listen, buddy. Have you seen the other guy's abs? And she's not even into that.
And this is good because he invites her to the movie, but then she's like, "Oh, cool. Let's bring some friends." And he's like,
"Oh yeah."
Fuck, we got to, huh?
But no one else shows up except, of course, him and Jacob.
With
so
your barely tucked-in shirt hair. And flowy haircut. Look at you.
That's kind of a...
This guy looks like he's just...
To be fair, if you remove...
He looks like he's seasick on land.
Yeah.
What's this
if you removed these two supernatural characters...
The movie is called Face Punch, Let's Do This. I got to give props to that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I got to give props to that.
I like the
Face
subtle
punch.
Burger
Let's
King bag right there. That's
oh, yeah.
Little,
that was in the book, and that was a funny thing from
in
her...
In the book?
The movie was called Face Punch.
I believe
Let's
it
do
was
this.
Called. I don't think it was called Let's Do This. That's the tagline. But
yeah.
I think it was called Face Punch, and it was literally the kind of thing where he's trying to you know Baby Edward Norton is named Mike, his character, and he's
sitting on a tack.
I like
at
Baby
him.
Edward yeah. Norton. Better.
Mike is literally trying to make a move on her, and he's like, "Oh, we can go see this movie. I just heard of Wilhelm."
They stuck their Wilhelm.
He's like, "Oh, we can go see the romance and blah, blah, blah." She's like, "How about Face Punch?"
Right.
Because that's
right.
Her, like, adrenaline junkie thing. So I was like, that's funny that there's a movie called Face
that's
Punch.
That's what happens when The Social Network is directed by McGee.
Face Punch?
Face Punch. The story of Mark Zuckerberg.
he was contacted by the government to develop
a fight through hundreds
network.
Of people to get that server up.
Right. There was a scene where Zuckerberg insulted.
Your face got hit 2,200 times in 1 hour?
Flamethrower
22,000.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie. Not by McGee, but I want to see that movie.
By the way, I've been the guy who's like, "Hey, we should hang out." Cool, yeah. Last minute, three people are coming, and two of them are guys that are hotter than you. I'm like, All right, that's great. I'm going to go.
And one of them I've been spending a lot of private time with.
I literally picked I was in college. I was dating a girl who was going to LMU. Or I thought I was going to go on a date with a girl who went to LMU, and we like hit it off at a party, and it was great, got each other's number. I pick her up, and like she opens the door, I see her face, she opens the door wider, four people behind her.
Perfect.
I'm like, this is going to go awesome.
The only thing better is like if it's her, and then they all walk out from behind her, like they're at exactly the angle where you couldn't see
zipping them. Up their zippers, no.
Oh, God.
He looks really like he just went for a jog in cold weather in this.
Right.
He's like kind of pale, but with rosy cheeks. It's weird.
So when we were watching this for the first time with Teague, actually, you, as soon as he got mad and jumped up and just made like a huff about this whole thing with the guy for no reason, you're like, "Oh shit, he's a werewolf, isn't he?" I'm like, "Did you never see the trailer to this?" And he's like, "No, I never did."
Turns into a giant wolf.
He's a werewolf, isn't he?
And
I
so
love that's the first place you go. Like that, like
no.
You could practically just go to, "Wait, is he the Hulk?
Right.
What's going to happen here?"
I know. Like,
wait, his breath is lasers, right?
That's why I'm bringing this up, because I wanted to ask you, why did you jump to that conclusion? Because
this is a fucking bad movie about vampires. I figured there'd be a hackneyed inclusion of werewolves, too, and I was goddamn right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, no, I didn't see any trailers, but I'm like, he's a werewolf.
To expand that question,
well,
then
my
to
my brain
others.
Went back to the first scene in the first movie where he was like, "I'm descended from wolves." I'm like, okay.
Okay, so you put it together.
Yeah,
okay,
like, no. I wouldn't say I put it together, because if I had put it together, I would have gotten in the first 5 minutes of the first movie.
Right.
But, no, I just went, oh, he's a fucking werewolf.
But is that like a thing? Is that like a normal thing? Like, werewolf, get mad.
No, that's a Jekyll and Hyde thing.
No, well, no. Because
I didn't associate that with the werewolf.
Because werewolves are controlled by the moon, so their emotions have nothing to do with it, usually.
The thing is, it's
but
an
again,
all
they're
thing.
Not werewolves.
And most times when they're werewolves, they're not themselves. They're completely feral. There's no of them left. It's just you're stuck with this wolf thing.
Right.
And we'll get to it when he wolfs out, but I do not like the wolf designs for this. I do not like the idea. They just look like big shaggy dogs.
I was going to bring this up like when we got to actual scene where we're looking at them, but like, you know, a lot of the, you know, I try to do my homework on this stuff, and I look at a lot of like YouTube reviews and read a lot of reviews and things like that. And people are like, "Oh man, the wolf effects were just horrible and blah, blah, blah." And I'm thinking like, no man, I thought they were pretty good all things considered.
Yeah.
And then as they elaborate, it's just the design
the
that
design
people
is
didn't
horrible.
Like. They just didn't like that they look like giant dogs,
and they got a big shaggy dog, which again leads me to werewolf fangs, blood, saliva, nails. I mean, Thriller has a more intimidating effect to it than
Thriller's fucking scary. You know what? Any transformation from you know, from the 80s. I think Rob Bottin did Thriller, and he did
American Werewolf in London.
Anything with the fucking air bladders.
The air bladders
shit.
In the skin, the
that
extension
shit looks
of the
so painful.
I give a lot of props to Joe Johnston's Wolfman.
Just from the trailer.
The dislocation of the shoulder.
Yeah.
Did you see the changing of the carriage of the body. Like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Incredible Hulk really did a great job with that of like how painful it is for him to go through that. It's not just like, uh-oh, pants.
Not making it a pretty process, yeah.
I'm sorry, Rhythm and Hughes, both Rhythm and Hughes. Yeah.
Nice.
Dorkman, you said that he wasn't a werewolf at the beginning of the book New Moon, but he becomes a werewolf in New Moon?
Well, he's got that in his
lineage.
He doesn't know anything about that. Yeah. In fact, they were talking about that. Basically, that scene on the cliff is basically... there's the guy who's like the alpha, and he's basically like, yeah, all my buddies have suddenly started running around with their shirts off and only hanging out with him. They won't hang out with me anymore. Right. They won't tell me why. And he resents that. But then when the change finally happens to him, he's like, I get what was happening now.
Yeah.
But because he's had that conversation with her, as soon as he starts exclusively hanging out with that same guy running around with his shirt off,
she's like, he got to you.
Oh my God, he got to you. Right.
Squiggly in the chat says, what the hell kind of cop is this guy? He's at home all the goddamn time.
It's Forks.
Wow, that's, yeah.
What the fuck happens in
Maybe he
Forks?
Doesn't have
a lot of shit seems to happen
well, yeah,
in
but
Forks.
Like, but not
a
like,
lot of animal killing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It seems more like,
there's
I don't know.
So many bears.
Yeah.
Killing stuff.
With giant claws, yes.
And there he is. He's got
here
short hair.
Look at that guy.
There it is.
Tattoo now.
Yeah, I don't remember the tattoo in the book, but they all have it. So you'd think after he showed up to
and
set,
that's the thing.
The other werewolves would be like, "Can we put a hiatus on for 2 months and go to the gym?"
Yeah,
like
Native Americans by history, not a lot of. Tattooing. It didn't have. I mean, there were body mods and stuff like that, but
that's more of a
Maori New Zealand thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Polynesian, big in Polynesian, you know, but not really Native American stuff as far as like permanent tattooing.
What about Chakotay on Star Trek Voyager? He had tattoos. He was Native American.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's more of a Polynesian thing, or even an African thing than
or even a 500 years from now thing.
Sure. There you go. Yeah,
gentlemen, I'm going to tap out and hand this over to Chloe.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. I can't
Holy crap. We have our first victim.
I can't handle
You'll
it.
You'll be back.
I'm sure I will.
For them? Well, feel free to chime in.
Yeah. So
they can see it? They high-fived.
Did
Sam
get
you?
Well, that was a tap out, I guess.
It was.
Oh, okay.
We have to do something.
That is a big
Ladies and gentlemen, Chloe Zimmerman.
Woo!
How you doing, Chloe?
This poor kid, by the way. To be fair, like he had to kick his own ass to even keep this role.
Right.
And then he's got to walk around in the freezing cold with his
Look
shirt
at this guy.
Off
he's shaking.
Time.
He's shivering. Like, it's like, no. I don't get the sense that that's heated rain.
Yeah, no.
Like, it does not look comfortable
no,
for this
No, it's
dude.
Not. Although there's some, I'm not really, I we got it on Blu-ray. We rented it on Blu-ray to watch it. And there's subtle effects of, like, steam coming off them as well. Because the whole the reason that they run around with their shirts off is because their metabolism is so high.
They're
so literally
they're
putting
hot
out of heat.
And they
well, like
throw so many shorts.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting because in real life, in order to gain this weight, he actually, like, his personal trainer had him on a very strict diet plan. But a lot of consumption of calories to convert into muscle.
Yeah.
Literally, he had him on, like, the standard plan. And after a while, he's like, dude, in between this steak and this chicken you have, seriously, just pound a milkshake in between because you need more calories. You're not getting enough calories to put on the mass.
Yeah.
Because at some point...
That's why I like those like protein bars and stuff. They're like very high calories, but it's stuff that you need to build
muscle.
Yeah,
and that's probably like commercial... And that's a separate discussion, but you need like...
No, let's get into it. Fuck it.
Fuck it. No, you need...
You want to talk nutrition, kids?
Yeah. If you're looking to gain
me
muscle...
Me and Eddie versus you kids?
If you're looking to gain muscle, like you need to ingest
That's a worthwhile conversation, considering.
You need to ingest
Eat
basically
your vegetables.
A pound of... Of basically gram of protein
his
per pound
neck
of his
body
is
muscular,
yeah. And then on top of that, you need sugar, you need carbohydrates, you need fats. Like you actually need all of those things in high quantities to pack on the muscle, not just protein.
Yeah, but that's if you're doing like you know
if you're gaining
eight
mass,
hours of cardio a day. Most
if you're doing
people,
2 days,
no, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
Just eat some vegetables and calm your shit down.
Calories in versus calories out.
Stick to brown rice, people.
When I was younger, I did not understand that part, and I just ate protein bars thinking I was doing a good job and not working out.
No, you'll gain weight that way.
Counterproductive.
No. Yeah. I was raised by doctors, one of which is a witch doctor, who's like, yeah, be anorexic and eat vegetables. She's actually right.
Don't be anorexic. I mean, you need to keep your metabolism up. You need to eat small meals throughout the day and stuff like that to lose weight. But,
protein and vegetables calm your shit down.
Protein and veg, and then the big thing is stay away from gluten. Gluten's a killer. So any bread, any pasta.
Fortunately, I'm allergic.
Hey, let me ask you this. You know, the smaller meals throughout the day, I hear in both cases when people are trying to put on muscle and trying to lose weight, it seems like just in general we should all be eating five meals instead of
The thing about the smaller meals is just it helps control your calorie intake. You're less likely to binge and eat 1,000 calories in a sitting if you haven't been starving yourself.
Unless one of those meals is at Chipotle.
If you haven't been starving yourself throughout the day, then you're less hungry at any given meal, so you're less likely to take in a lot of calories. Unless you're trying to take in a lot of calories and build mass.
The thing is that you're smart and you – okay, if you – if you miss a meal,
I'm smart.
Well, no, people are smart. And if people go 5 hours without a meal, you know you're not starving. You know you can go to the store and get food anytime. Your body doesn't know that. So if you go that long without food, your body's like, shit, we're clearly starving. So we're gonna like store all what we have now as fat for the rainy day because we're in the rainy day phase now. But if you continuously eating small meals, your body's going like, shit, we're abundant with food. Therefore, we don't need to retain this fat.
Does anybody
to
know
be fair,
why
that's
she's in
not
a
really
field?
Supported by research? But
really?
Yeah,
the research I've read is she's in a field because she's sad.
It seems primarily like it's just basically calories and
resistance. All right,
things are going to happen.
Okay, the story starts.
The movie.
The story started here.
No,
Laurent
this is
from the first
it.
Movie.
Let's actually.
By the way, redhead, one of the hottest girls I've ever seen.
She's pretty hot, yeah.
Really?
I'm kind of an Esme fan myself.
Come in late, get out early. That's all I get. The redhead,
I have to say about the redhead.
Yeah. I'm talking about the story.
That's how I made my son.
I'm talking about the story.
Oops.
But
sorry
anyway.
I'm going to tell him it was made on one of your anniversaries someday.
That's right. Well, that's like when he gets to be 13.
I know.
Although to be, I think.
As someone who
they recast Bryce Dallas Howard
in
Eclipse. I like her better in as Victoria.
Yeah, that's right.
I think she's cuter than the Victoria they have
now. Well, that's getting into the if they knew this was going to be such a huge hit and had money,
true.
She would have been that from the beginning.
Probably.
Which is weird because Bryce Dallas Howard hasn't really.
And this guy would have been Don Cheadle.
Terminator Salvation.
This guy totally would have been Don Cheadle.
Okay, so we got Terminator Salvation, and we got Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
So basically she's the kiss of death for the franchise. Is that what I'm learning here?
Seriously. And I like her fine. I think
they did kill her in Eclipse.
Yeah. No, I like her.
And
she's
they're fine. Finishing right. Breaking Dawn, so.
Yeah.
So is he a bad guy?
Yes. No, he's a bad guy. He's basically saying that he's been sent, and he's like, I'll kill you now because that'll be much more humane than when she gets her hands on you, kind of a thing. And
okay, so redhead
cool.
wants
so sweet.
To eat her.
She wants to kill her because Bella killed her boyfriend slash
Bella killed.
Yeah. No, in the previous movie,
the guy played by
you pronounce it. Chagabekembeking.
You did a little Team America thing. There.
Yeah, exactly. He was her mate. As they say in this vampire lore.
Okay, so Redhead's mate got killed in the earlier
movie. He was the one who they tore apart and burned while she was getting the whole venom sucked out thing at the end.
Yeah, he was the one who was after her.
Yeah, with the videotape and all that business.
Yeah, so, by not making it clear how they can kill vampires.
Yeah.
Because in other vampire lore, they're like, you can get killed this way, and this way.
They never really established
and
that.
They can get killed
in this one by werewolves?
They say burning works.
Well,
that's all.
Beheading and severing the arms.
Okay, so like drawing and quartering, basically. Yeah. Is how that works.
This is some of the best wolf.
Here we are. We got some wolf action.
Well, I like the characteristics of it, but again, the design is just a big furry dog with some fangs.
Yeah,
like,
no, the design sucks, but the effects are actually very good.
It's well executed for what
I mean, they're big. I give them that. They're big dogs. They're like, you know, they're not
like,
Lhasa Alpsos or anything.
Fur
they're,
is hard.
You know. Mm-hmm. No, effects-wise, again,
no,
it's
effects-wise,
totally fine.
I'm going with that, but you can design whatever you want.
Yeah. Right. Later on, a couple of... bits later on, like I'll point them out when we get to them. But there are a couple bits later on where they feel a little too cartoony, I think. But
oh no, I totally
overall
agree.
It's okay.
They do that a couple times. The whole reflection in the eye.
Yeah, no, the reflection in the eye was a little bit too on the nose.
When these guys are wolfed out, they
especially
still,
since he's the only like
they're still
blonde,
themselves,
strawberry
right?
blonde one.
They're still themselves. Like, they don't lose. They don't.
Yeah,
lose.
They still have their own.
They're still their consciousness.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it's a. It's
yeah,
a
they're very much in control. They don't like lose out their personality. They're still. It's just like, oh, I'm wolf now. Cool.
Yeah.
You know,
in fact, again, it's an enhanced consciousness because they're able to communicate telepathically with each other.
Right.
And they can't normally? Because I thought they could.
They can't if they're not in wolf form.
Oh, is it? Oh,
they
really?
They can't hear. If
I missed that part.
If any one of them is not in wolf form, they can't.
I guess maybe just because they talk about it when they're in human form, and then I assumed wrong or something.
Well, you know, it is what the movie says it is, I guess. So, if they change it, but
no, I'm not saying that.
Inside
Outcast, I probably misunderstood.
In the chat room says that in Twilight they die by decapitation and burning. They have to be decapitated and burned, which I don't get. Because
both?
I guess.
What if I take the head to China?
Right,
you know,
and bury
well,
it.
I think the thing is that if that
wolf punch,
conceivably, then that vampire, if it was dug up 1,000 years from now and reunited,
and
it could come back.
It feels so good.
But that was an entire season arc on Buffy, actually, with the judge.
The judge.
You remember the judge demon?
Oh, yeah. The judge. Yeah. Okay.
He was. It was a demon that was drawn and quartered and split up into various things. And the overarching arc of the bad guys was to find his pieces and reconnect
nice.
Him.
Nice.
Because the whole.
I like it.
Well, but it was kind of a cop out
about Joss Whedon. Oh, it's not awesome.
He's about to do his acrobatic jump up
in
the window.
Parkour.
I was both disappointed and amused with how they handled the judge at the end. But
yeah, but anyway. You know.
Yeah, that's a little. Although I am impressed with how they must have, because he's clearly on a wire, obviously. But how did they rake him when he's wearing like no clothes?
That's a lot of tough removal.
No, you'll notice he was.
That's what ILM did.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll notice he was horizontal most of the way.
That's true.
I think it was just a waist harness. Yeah. Like a Swiss seat.
That's you what know. I assumed when I saw this the first time. I was like, oh, waist harness. Good job, guys. And some parkour.
Chloe's smarter than us all.
How can she? She needs her man to be worth anything.
I do. Yeah. It's sad. I'm not Christian. Oops.
This is the part where coming up. Jeez, I'm eating a cookie. That's very unprofessional.
It is.
Where they're having
leave
that conversation.
I'm gonna have a cookie.
Well, y'all can go to hell.
If there's a third, I'll take
go on.
The third cookie.
You want one? There's a few.
This movie has driven me off my diet.
Oh, I'm allergic. Can't be part of the team.
Where she's explaining to him like how it's like, oh my god, we can't be together. But she's like massaging his abs. Like,
I know. No. I liked it when she like halfway punched him in the stomach. Like,
she's like
oh, it's so hard there,
buddy. You know,
the whole thing like, oh, you're warm. Edward's cold. Isn't that like a thing?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the temperature thing.
In fact, that's even a thing in Eclipse. There's a whole scene about that.
About temperature?
Yeah. About how he's warm and Edward isn't.
So is there a logical reason?
She has incredibly low standards for dating.
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
Your body temperature is 98.
God.
Oh, in. I'm in.
I'm in, yeah.
Is that on your Facebook profile? Because then I could find out much easier.
Interest. Standard human body temperature.
Yeah.
So is there a reason that they...
No, not anything but the standard human body
temperature. Let me ask you, this is a two-part question. Number one, although the wolf
yes,
the wolf
and part 2-7. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, good. Okay. Is there a reason they don't wear shirts, just ever?
Because that's more that they have to shred, and
now,
it's acceptable.
Okay. That's part
no,
two.
No, that's so much more money. Like, if they just continuously buy, like, pants that kind of fit at Goodwill, then that's less money.
Okay. Also, they're extremely hot all the time.
Yeah. Right.
So.
But the funnier
because
version.
Because they're warm.
No, hot, physically
they're,
hot.
Metabolism. They're wolves.
Yeah, metabolistic, not
because they're sexy,
hot.
Right? That's what.
Yeah,
because
right. They're sexy. They have to keep...
Huh?
No, quite honestly, of all the werewolves, he's like the only one who's actually like in shape and hot.
Quick,
I gotta
say. Quick aside,
or maybe he just makes the rest of them look shitty.
I was actually watching, and as he walks through light, the lighting on his abs doesn't change.
What?
Hmm.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, no. Watch this. I'm serious. This was the part I was watching.
Anyway.
They might be a little painted.
They're a little
that's
painted.
That's just an awkward way to hug somebody. That's just like.
It really is.
He yanks her by the shoulder to hug.
Get the fuck over here.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
In my fucking embrace.
Yeah.
Tonight, I need your sweet goddamn caress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just awkward. I gotta say, I do play Warcraft, and in the latest expansion,
that song, by the way.
I can't wait to see how this relates.
Yeah.
Well, no, in the latest
it's
expansion...
It's so silly, but I love it.
In the latest expansion, they added the playable race character of the Worgen, who are...
Jogs away
nonchalantly. Who are werewolves, but they've got a sort of a Edwardian, old English sensibility to them.
Oh,
so they have top hats, very steampunk, but they turn into werewolves. the best set of character names I've ever seen from players have come from that, because they're all named like Michael J. Wolf and Teen Warg and like just, I mean, like all the different like ways you can play with it.
I've
seen so many Jacobs as the Teen Wargs. As the Worgen. It's fun.
My roommate has one of those characters, and he accidentally said a haiku once describing him, because I guess he had like an invisibility enchantment or something on him. He's like, werewolf in top hat, invisible. You'd think you could see him, but you can't.
Yeah. Like, that means he was a rogue, because rogues don't turn invisible.
This is where she figures it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the top hat is standard issue for the Worgen. They get him in like level 3. Like, mm-hmm. it's the top hat.
I have to say, again, that was a moment in the book. Like, she had it in a dream, and there's like half... In the book, she wakes up from the dream and then goes and, like, does more internets. Uh-huh. And
like the first one, right?
Like the first one. Yeah. She looks up their legends
in the
and
movie,
she's like,
least, yeah.
Oh, the other bit about the wolves.
She's like, I should really just bookmark this site and look at the rest of it, you know, because...
Yeah. But the best part is there is a bit where she understands that he's a werewolf, right? She gets it. And probably the best moment in this book and the most real moment from Bella's perspective is she was like, okay, so wait, my last boyfriend was a vampire, mm-hmm. and now the guy I'm into is a werewolf. Mm-hmm. What kind of town is this?
Yes.
Is this? Like, she actually says that.
Doesn't somebody hang a lantern on that in this movie? Somebody does.
Maybe.
I think somebody says
but
something
But I loved
about
the
that.
Fact in the book
yeah,
that
no,
she actually hung
hell
a lantern
yeah,
on
absolutely.
That.
I do like that you see, like, the remnants of his clothes there just kind of hanging out.
Well, yeah.
I gotta say, as far as like a visual reveal of Jacob being a werewolf goes, in case you haven't fucking figured it out by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
that's
this,
not
doesn't,
bad.
This doesn't come as a surprise, yeah. but well, here we are, you know.
And again, it was in the trailer, so.
And in the trailer, yes.
But
I'm just saying.
No, yeah. No, that's good though. It's a good first time to see him turn into one.
Yeah.
So
to actually see it happen.
Yeah. I'm much more on Bella's side in terms of this coming as like a surprise than in the first one, where it's like everyone's pale as shit,
yeah.
has orange contacts in their eyes, is stone cold to the touch, and it's like, okay, all right.
I gotta say, as far as fight choreography goes between two animals,
I love it. Look
bad.
At this. The camera falls over at the end. That's cool.
That's a cool little thing. If you've ever seen the Grizzly Man documentary, when the two bears fight, they're straight up doing judo. Like, they are straight up. They lock up, collar, elbow tie up. They pummel for underhooks. Swear to God.
They both
pummel for underhooks. And one guy gets him with a Taiyotoshi foot throw. And once the guy hits the ground, he's totally pulling guard. And then postures back up and stands back up. It's insane how, like, intrinsic
awesome.
Some of that
no,
is.
No, it's a very parsimonious, this is how you fight.
Yeah,
kind of
and, like, genetically,
to...
we're
awesome
no,
word.
This is the physics of how you get the upper hand on someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
and that's,
like if you watch a fight and then you watch bears fight, that's how that works.
Yeah.
Instinctual.
And so that's what I'm saying with the way they fought, like you see a
no,
lot of
No, it's
that.
Just the way that fighting works.
Yeah. Yeah. When you don't truss it up with sanctimonious bullshit.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Sanctimonious, nowhere near as good as parsimonious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my feeble attempt.
Oh, no.
I'm sad.
Feeble, pretty good word.
I rarely use feeble.
It's my bad thing at trying to make good thing.
Yeah.
Eddie's done more impressive things than I have, I promise.
Oh, stop it.
Shush.
That's another...
Anyway.
This is another interesting thing.
Look at her horrifying face.
Yeah. Hey, honey, you want to be with the wild animal? Guess what? He's going to beat you.
Every so often...
Bite your face off.
I have to be... But again, that's another interesting idea that is like, wow, I don't know who... Like, again, her favorite band is Muse, Stephanie Myers. I'm like, I don't know who is actually her Muse, but he got misassigned. Because there's some great ideas here that are just not well executed.
Hey, let me ask you guys something. We got this chick here with the cut face.
Right.
A la the top hooker in Kill Bill.
Right.
He'll be my number one.
Yeah.
But, like,
I would just cut your face.
Now, these guys, like, they're in control of themselves when they're in wolf form.
Yeah. They know what the
fuck. So at what point do they? Are they like?
No,
but
was,
they get.
I will cut the one I love.
No, if they.
You
get,
wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where they don't necessarily.
There's actually a moment where you
yeah,
can say that
they don't necessarily lose themselves entirely, but there is an element of if they become overly emotional, they will phase.
It'll just happen.
And they kind of, you know,
but but that's not always why.
No, it's but it can be a lashing out thing. And the whole backstory of this is that one time he got pissed off, he lashed out, and now he has to live with the fact that he did that to her.
Okay. Yeah, but it reeks of that.
But she forgave him, so it's okay.
Yeah. But she forgave him because what's she going to do without her man?
Right, exactly. She's worthless. She her life is to make muffins for the wolf pack.
Yeah. Anyway, Chloe.
It reeks of the whole, like, I couldn't help myself because that's who I am.
Right.
Yeah. Which is bullshit because it's excused here, and that's retarded in so many reasons.
Right.
For this
although in the book, it does make a big point of the fact that he is constantly living with the guilt. It's not like it's just swept under the rug.
But
right.
I'm gonna bet you that more girls watch the movie than read the book.
That's probably fair. That's true.
And I have a problem with that.
As you should. I mean, it's you know.
I don't know. I think I've mentioned it earlier that I've every so often been inclined to write a blog for, you know, upper middle class white girls how to not be stupid.
And what is this?
Don't watch Twilight.
No, just.
She hasn't done it. She's just inclined.
She's compiling.
No, every so often when I think about it, I feel, you know, holier than thou and retarded. But it's...
I write Twilight.
And then I write Twilight. But it's one of those, like, just, no, seriously, stop being stupid. Stop thinking you're stupid. Stop thinking you're entitled is the bottom line.
Right.
It's not cool to be stupid. It's not cool to be dumb. Just try to be nice to everyone.
And it's not like you can't ever talk.
Although
about...
you can write that to white boys too. Right?
I know.
Or
well,
any
no,
boy.
It's
any
TV
race.
Has told boys to be, you know, assholes, and TV has told girls to be bitches. Mm. And you watch TV when you're growing up, and you learn that, and you're like, oh, that's what I am. Okay, that's how I learned. That's how that works, and that's, you know, the dynamic of the game and whatever the girl version of that is. I don't know.
Well, I mean. I'm sorry, guys.
It's like the rules or something.
Yeah, the rules and the game. Or, I don't know. It's retarded. Just be a person. Mm-hmm. How about you try that?
Be a person.
Be a person.
I like it.
And it's not like you can't ever explore ideas of people who are of like extreme codependency. Like it's not like you can't ever talk about those things. Mm-hmm. But there's more creative and constructive and better ways to explore these ideas.
Don't act like that's the norm.
Yeah, don't make
treat
that
as the
don't
the,
make that your hero's journey.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's
don't like
it's stop being crazy.
Girl has man, girl loses man, girl gets man back. The end. Like that's not
the
hero's journey is the elixir is not codependency. Right. That's not what you bring back from the mountain.
If you're familiar with Natasha Khan, she performs as Bat for Lashes. Her most recent album is called Two Sons, and it's a concept album. And it's sort of about, kind of based in real life, about how she moved to New York for her boyfriend and how sort of living for that dude kind of like created a rift. And in the concept album and the story of that, it creates like the split persona and how in the end she sort of has to rectify that and let go of him in order to sort of reclaim herself. Mm-hmm. That's a mature way of approaching this. That's a mature way of the great thing is at the end is if Edward comes back and she's like, fuck y'all, I don't need you all.
Oh, yeah.
Because I became a Cyclops or something. I believed in myself hard
what
enough.
What I thought
would
be great is if...
I became a Cyclops.
Something in the supernatural. Keep it supernatural.
If we went back to what I was talking about in Twilight where it's like she has a genuine... need for Edward, but she manages.
Right. Yeah.
If she can manage to somehow break it, either by deciding to be with Jacob or because, you know, she jumps off the cliff and almost dies, and because she died, like in Buffy,
she
died. No, not yet.
Oh,
because
God.
She died, it doesn't count anymore, but she came back from it and blah, blah, blah. Then at the very least, then it's like, okay, Edward's back. She can still get with him, but at least then she's like, I'm doing it because. Because I want you, not because I need you.
Not because I need you, exactly.
Not for any, like, reasons that I can dictate, or I like you for reasons, or you like me for reasons.
We should create some reasons, certainly. That's a bigger issue.
Is Graham Greene a werewolf? I forget.
No, he's too old.
He's too old to be a werewolf. Okay.
Oh, was he a werewolf?
That's ageist.
He could have been. If this had happened...
Is there an age at which you stop being a werewolf?
Apparently. I don't know exactly.
It's some indeterminate
rules,
Oh, so,
yeah.
Okay.
But he's too old to be a werewolf.
Seriously. Oh, God, I like her a lot.
She's
kind of
hot.
This is kind of a cool
she's
sequence,
super
too,
hot.
By the way. Just the music and the mood of it and cutting back between the
two. I think she's like
plots.
An archetype of super hot redheads.
Uh-huh.
No, I seriously do.
Oh, Graham Greene, no.
You're gonna be okay. Die now.
I don't actually remember this in the books, but again, there's actually a subplot
on
here.
Yeah, he's dead now.
Yeah, he dies.
I said she. I meant he.
Oh, right.
Just before I get...
Yeah, I just have a problem with they really needed, like, a better sort of body coordinator to, like, discuss with the vampires, like, how they should move in their carriage and things like that. Because I don't buy any of it. I don't buy the power. I don't buy any of it. It's like the worst of wire work, in my opinion.
It really feels... I agree.
It is very wiry.
It feels very much, like you say, the body carriage thing and stuff, it feels very much like... They showed up, especially her, you know. She doesn't have any lines, so they're like, well, you're due on this day, so just be here the night before.
Right.
Yeah, you know, flip around. It'll be good.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be very sexy.
You're
in the
dancer, right?
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Sure.
A good example, you know.
As opposed to designing the motion of vampires.
Right.
Designing
and, like, their
the
fight
way
style.
They behave.
One of the, you know, vampires, it should have like an idea, regardless of what your interpretation of the mythos is, vampires should have an idea of effortless power.
Right.
The idea that they can do these sort of remarkable things rather effortlessly. And there are sort of archetypes who have created that. I think Brad Pitt gets a lot of credit, should get a lot of credit in Troy. I think he actually, you buy him as Achilles, you buy him that he's like this near godlike level of ability. He has a way of posturing and standing himself. Jet Li in Lethal Weapon 4.
Well, also because he has confidence.
He has confidence, exactly, and he knows what he's doing.
It's overconfidence, as we discover, but yeah.
Yeah. Jet Li in Lethal Weapon 4, I know it's a weird Jet Li movie to reference, but that character was specifically designed to be sort of better and sort of, in that first sort of takedown he does, he has this thing where he like plays with these beads, and when he fights, you can see that sort of like easy way to move around. Ip Man, sort of the same thing. You know, you get the idea that this person is powerful and does so effortlessly. It just seems like they're trying to hit panels. It seems like they're trying to hit images and postures that were iconic, and they didn't care so much about how they got into or out of them. Yeah. They didn't care so much about the fluid motion between.
Without having a comic book to reference.
That's why it surprises me. There's no like weird comic book reference for this to be made into. This is the movie. This is the end game.
But you're right, though. There are certain frames where you're just kind of like, oh, that's what a Marvel moment, as they call it, looks like.
Raising my hand. Yeah. Why? Why is this happening right now? Why does she do this?
Because every time she gets herself into danger, she
wants
sees
to
Edward.
See Edward.
Yeah.
Because
oh my
she's nothing
God,
without
I hate
him.
Her so much.
Yeah, there's
she's,
that.
She's nothing without him. We've established this.
In the book,
at
she
least
was.
Take her
but you know what?
In the book, she wanted to go cliff diving with Jacob. He didn't show up, so she does it without him.
That's better.
That's way better.
That is actually.
It's still the adrenaline junkie thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But.
So
she
so,
wanted to do it with
so she's
Jacob.
A danger whore is really what we're going with.
But the thing is, and this is the problem.
Oh, also, are wolves afraid of water and vampires not? Is that
they just
a
don't like
thing?
Baths.
Really? Because dogs are, as far as I'm aware,
dogs
okay
don't mind water.
No,
it's
they
cats.
Don't.
Cats,
yeah.
don't. Cats hate water.
I feel like they mixed up dogs and cats here.
Yeah.
The thing is, and this is what's most disturbing about it, like, it's one thing that the logic of the movie is saying, well, she's a danger junkie, she sees her... You know, she basically attempts to kill herself.
Seriously,
because
that's the only personality attribute they
right
give
because
her.
The basically the thing makes the argument that you know she's nothing
she
without
she definitely
him
fails the Plinkett test.
Right.
Oh my
she's
God.
Nothing. She's nothing without him. But because we don't see anything
I like
else
what they
happening
do with the hair here. Yeah. Just be like dun dun dun.
She purdy.
Because they don't see.
I, when I saw this for the first time, I was like, oh shit, there are mermaids in this too.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
It's like. She gives us so little as a character to work with. It's almost like, yeah, she really is nothing without him. Like, the movie proves that really horrible
that's
point,
kinda
right?
That's kind of true, yeah.
Like, she really, like, I have no reason to watch her unless she's thinking about him. There's nothing she does that isn't in the context of him. So, really, she could die here, and I feel like I wouldn't be missing the story. And that's horrible. That's a horrible thing.
Yeah. Cut over to him. That's the more interesting part of the story,
right.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Or Jacob. Or anyone else.
Or any plug
or
in,
her dad.
Plug-in man. No, not even her dad. Not even the guy who has like legitimate love for her.
Uh-huh.
Like real, mature love of a parent to a child
that's
tangible that you can put yourself into. It's all about this dreamy beefcake bullshit. And it's like, I don't know.
He's doing that wrong, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, again.
That was mostly at his arms.
How
he
hard is
doing
it?
It on
how
his,
hard
we're talking
is it
about the
CPR.
CPR.
But that's, it's a bad example in every step of the way.
Well, like, we weren't going to be talking about the sex in this movie, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm going on the wild assumption that people are not watching.
Right,
the movie.
Sorry. She was just drowning, and then he was giving her CPR.
It's a bad example in every metric. It's like oh, it's because sometimes, I mean, I think a kid did CPR on his dad once because he saw it in a movie.
No, they're
the
actually
right
constant and really consistent versions of people in med school in internships doing medical procedures wrong because they saw the wrong version on House.
Because they watched Grey's Anatomy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
On House, ooh.
Right. Or some bullshit. It freaks me out and upsets me.
No, I'm saying the movie sets the wrong example.
But it's a med school, not they get trained out of that, right?
I hope so.
Oh God!
Kind of funny. My wife,
science-based medicine is good.
I was raised by doctors. I'm afraid of hospitals.
My wife was in labor for 36 hours, so we brought plenty of movies and DVDs with us. She brought Grey's Anatomy season 5, and
whatever she wants, man. Whatever she
seriously,
wants.
Yeah, whatever the fuck. We brought Toy Story 3 and some other stuff, but like she had Grey's Anatomy in there.
Upsetting things.
So yeah, so we're.
I have to say that the time that I was in the hospital for the surgery, the gallbladder thing, that was one of my most productive like movie watching and book reading times. I was like, this is awesome.
I redid Lord of the Rings trilogy from start to bottom.
Yeah.
And I beat Diablo 2 again.
Exactly.
Just because I had the time to do it. But
anyway.
No, but so anytime a doctor walked in and she was like, so how are you feeling? And then they see the DVD on the thing and they're like, Grey's. Like they just, Grey's Anatomy has like a reputation in the medical profession.
Yeah.
They were like,
I'm
well,
sure
why don't
does.
You tell me what to do? Right. Go on. Yeah. Go on. How should I handle this? What would McDreamy do in this situation?
I'm not fucking anybody in this hospital, just as a heads up.
I'm so glad my parents are too old to be aware of it. Because it would make my dad, who is counting down the days to his retirement, be like, oh, God, fuck y'all. I'm gone now.
I'm out.
Don't care anymore.
Ewing asked how my wife was giving birth and watching DVD as well. The labor process, as you will hopefully discover.
Eventually you'll find.
The answer is masterful.
It's not all at once, my man. It takes some time. And it's not pushing for 36 hours. It's waiting for your body to do
some
shit.
If anyone listening to this is planning on being like a OBGYN / obstetrics, just, understand that there's a lot of waiting involved and not doing stuff.
Pushing for 36 hours. Man, I would give up. I'd be like, it's not coming.
She sort of did.
Like,
she's I'm going to not have a baby now.
Right.
Anybody? Can I just not now?
Yeah. Can we just stop?
Well, the
I assume it will reabsorb. That's how this works.
About 3 weeks before the due date, she was watching some birthing videos online. She calls me up. She's like, "Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to keep him in there. Just homeschool him. We're not doing this thing that's happening."
God, I love your
wife's
wife.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So. I like this shot that actually plays out as just one long oneer from this angle. It's actually like pretty. Yeah. Okay. Good.
They have to actually perform.
I like
oneers. They do a pretty good job.
I like oneers generally, but what happened was the DP fell asleep.
Oh.
And forgot to,
they don't
kiss. And they just kind of dozed off, and then oh shit!
I actually like that moment because you feel like
good.
That's
it's good.
It's like
supposed
the only
to happen.
Like, moment.
Yeah, but also that's a real thing.
And now they cuddle.
I want to say that I'm actually very very happy that these two don't actually ever kiss or hook up.
They never seal the deal,
which is good because then when Edward comes back and you're like, okay. Fine, I'll get on board with the part where she is still super into Edward, and now it's a conflict. Because if she were totally with Jacob, that'd be a very different thing.
Why is it just now that he notices the vampires? Because theoretically, that car's been there for a while.
Well, maybe she opened the door, I guess.
Yeah.
Really? Because vampire vibes are, airborne?
Well, it's like smell, though. Yeah.
It is smell for
him.
Oh,
okay.
It's smell for him.
Because that Ford looks pretty airtight.
I think that's what he said. Yeah.
They actually hate the smell of each other, which is
a thing
that comes up.
Yeah, I got that from the whole 40 minutes of this I watched.
Yeah. You mean ask, don't they do a C-section via vampire fangs at some point in these books? And I think they do. Guy.
Because,
like, the baby has, like, wings and talons or some shit. I don't know. Like,
no, what happens is that the baby, as it's in the last book, they make it – okay. The people who have talked about it, I hate to defend Twilight here, but the people who have talked about it on the internet make it sound a bit crazier than it is.
Right.
And to be fair, again, it's one of the better parts of – it's probably one of the better parts of the series. It's the moment that true horror works its way into the series in a way that I'm like, holy shit, I wish it was all like this. I wish this had been the tone of the books all along because the birth – of what becomes the baby, which is called Renesmee. The birth...
That's such a stupid name.
It's stupid because her mother's name is Renee and Edward's mother is Esme, so they call it Renesmee.
So close to not being lame.
But,
so close.
By that logic, my son's name would be Petterfred.
It's pretty close to Pedo Bear. Just call him Pedo Bear.
Is that all right? Are we still recording?
Probably.
Just,
it's just sleeping.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, But what basically happens is the baby is acting like a normal baby, but it's got vampire genes, so it's super strong.
Sure.
So basically, it's kicking. You know, it's doing the thing, and then it kicks so hard that it breaks her spine.
Okay.
Oh, right.
It breaks her back.
I buy that.
I remember that story.
And she's falling over, and she's basically dying. Like, it's just fucking her up. She's basically dying. So I believe what happens is, you know, only vamp or werewolves or whatever you want to call these, only vampires or werewolves can basically break vampire skin. They can basically destroy each other. And because she's growing a vampire baby, she basically has a vampire uterus. So only, you know, it's going to kill her to try and give birth normally.
Lois Lane could not give birth to Superman's baby.
Yes, only Wonder Woman could bear her.
Yes, the only way to get in there was to get it open with vampire teeth. But again, it's as stupid as it sounds, it's actually one of the best parts of the book because it's so
fucked up and so
dramatic.
Wow.
And so interesting. And then
I'd be into that.
Yeah, yeah. And because she's dying, that's when Edward finally goes, okay, and he bites her.
To save her life.
To save her life, yeah. Exactly. That's that. As again, it sounds ridiculous and retarded, and maybe it is, but it's also the best part of the series.
It's the closest thing to real science of trying to science.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But we'll see how they handle that in the movies.
Well,
I'm actually kind of excited to see how they handle that in the movies.
That's the most anticipated sex scene, I think, as well. Like, yeah, because they release those soft focus. Like,
didn't
flowery
they,
photos.
Again,
like,
again,
in the book, didn't she just black out for it?
It's totally it's totally a pan away to the fireplace moment. Like, they reference, like, they kind of look into each other's eyes or whatever, mm-hmm. and then chapter end, the next morning, right. Blah, 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 and then she looks around and she's like, oh, the headboard has been destroyed. That's fucking crazy. What happened last night, you know?
Headboard, Jesus Christ.
But,
every cliche. Like,
yeah. Oh, it's totally the cliche.
I have a lot of bruising on the top of my head. What's all that about it?
But it's not, again, it's the kind of thing where they make it sound like, after all this cock teasing, she wrote this completely ridiculous and explicit sex scene where she gets knocked out by being sexed too hard and stuff like that. And it's actually relatively tasteful. I have to give it to her. All right.
Well, she had like 3 books to take some writing classes.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to continue hating it throughout the series, but I'm like, she's getting better. I can't say
she's
not.
That's what practice does.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, she got so successful from the first one. It's almost like, I guess at a certain point, if you continue writing, you would have to actively try to not get better.
Yeah,
you improve,
remember, like,
unless you're doing it on purpose.
Exactly. It's just like writing essays for anyone in any school environment. You have to get better. There's no way that practice doesn't make you better.
And by the way, schools should like find a good set of blogs or something to reference people to and be like, yeah, that little robot we show you with like the triangle head and bottom and like the 3 paragraphs in the middle, that's not how you write an essay. Read these blog posts.
Right.
That's an essay. You're making an argument. Convince me of something.
Right.
You know, that's I it took me so long to understand essay writing.
I thought they don't kiss. They're kissing.
He's kind of kissing the top of her.
It's a little bit.
That's second base for Mormons.
In the third movie, he basically Mormon rapes her because he kisses her without her consent.
Oh, no, wait. No, he's back in the third movie?
So does she shower in a fetal position or something?
Exactly.
Do they wear
the underwear? No, he kisses her and then she punches him in the face.
Do they wear the underwear?
Do they wear the underwear? Oh, man.
Here we go. All right. Now
I will make fun of your underwear.
He crushes the phone in his hand.
Oh, this is where he thinks she's dead.
Okay,
yes.
So now we get the Romeo and Juliet
action. Here we go. It's Act 3. Here's where the plot shows up. And yes, completely Romeo and Juliet.
Did he break up with her? Because I missed that part.
We're in the third act.
No, he just left. Well, that's kind of breaking
up. He did break up with her. He did break up with her at the beginning. Yes. Yeah. He basically said, I'm leaving. Our whole family's leaving. You'll never see me again. Move on with their life. And then she didn't.
Someone in the chat says that a Mormon orgy is a back rub train.
Yeah.
Like they have you doing drama
class.
I'm going
to call that the Mormon orgy from
Mormon
now on.
Orgy. Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
You guys want to come to a Mormon orgy?
When you want to order water, just ask for a Mormon orgy.
Mormon orgy. And it's like, it's water with a thing of lime in it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Crazy.
So, you know, it starts moving pretty fast here. And in the book, This was where there was actually, there's like a pace here. This is awesome. But again,
similar to the first one. It's just only at the end does it suddenly actually start to
I'm not sure why the Volturi, first of all, I'm not sure why he has to go to the Volturi.
What is the Volturi?
It's the Masons of Vampires.
Yeah, basically the high
Vampire Vatican
or whatever. Vampire Vatican, yeah.
Which, for the record, my father was a 32nd degree Mason. Talk about the group least capable of conspiracy theories. Like, they, old men who drink and do volunteer work. That's the extent of the Masons, people. They do not control the world. They're
from
not
what
the Illuminati.
I understand, they also like the Satan.
No. My father was an atheist, so, like...
Fair enough.
Yeah, so...
Honestly, I mean... If going to conspiracy theories, it's like, you know, if anyone is controlling the world to a specific point, they're doing a really fucking bad job of it.
Yeah.
Because
it's just incompetent.
It's just all like, over the place. It's just
Virgin America.
That'd be a great story, actually. If it's like a conspiracy theory.
They're flying virgin, guys. Come on. I like to think that's an in-joke by the filmmakers here. I like that.
Or the effects artists are like, hey, what kind of place should we make this?
Virgin.
I know what you make this, you guys.
Waka waka.
But this is a long segment of the book where they're racing to beat him to the. Basically, he goes to the Volturi to ask if they'll kill him. I don't know why, because apparently any vampire could do it. Can't or right in Forks, he could have gone back to the werewolves and be like,
and
"Hey,
start
kill me."
And
they're like,
in the face.
"Oh yeah, totally."
Yeah, with
can
pleasure.
I just like but to violate be, our treaty or some shit? Yeah. Like, can that happen?
But to be fair, they do sort of hang a lantern on it, and. Alice in particular, who is the one driving her there, who is probably one of the most interesting characters in the book because she's the most like a person.
And she poses the most naked.
Yeah, and she's the most interesting.
She does.
Mm-hmm. She basically goes – I think there's a lantern hung on it or whatever, but she basically says, okay, we've got time because she can see the future. She's like, okay, the Volturi said no. We've got time because he's going to want to do it on noon on festival day. And she's like, why? He's like, because he likes to be dramatic. I was like, at least someone pointed that out.
Because your boyfriend is a fucking douchebag.
Because he's a drama queen. Yeah. That's why. Uh-huh. I was like, at least a character said it. There's some self-awareness here. I have to give it that. But
I feel like everybody's golden eyes got bumped up a couple notches.
I think Ashley Green is way prettier than whoever.
Ashley Green is.
Yeah,
I think she's way hotter.
Yeah. Oh, God,
This is a car with two cuties in it, though, is my opinion.
No. She bored. Like, Bella, whoever, Chris, bores me.
But to be fair, vampires in general are supposed to be more beautiful than mortals.
Yeah, but they're not supposed to be, like, neutral beautiful.
Neutral beautiful?
Neutral. Like,
oh. I was like neutral beautiful.
I thought you just invented like a kind of sugar.
Yeah, is that beautiful without carbs?
Like,
what is that?
They're not supposed to be like, yeah, I guess you're pretty but ignorable.
Uh-huh.
Well, like, I don't... Ashley Green is pretty.
Right. Exactly.
And
they cast
Stewart,
her well.
And Kristen Stewart's kind of like, I guess you're pretty. You got
maybe
cheekbones
they'll recast her when she becomes a vampire. That would be amazing if she was like gorgeous at the other end of it.
So with you.
That would be astounding if they had the balls to do that.
Astounding is a good word for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be like, whoa.
No, you're super hot and you look nothing like Kirsten.
Like, you look nothing like you did before. Because that's what it is in the book. She looks at herself in the mirror. She's like, holy shit.
She's suddenly Angelina Jolie.
I'm awesome.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
It's like when she's confused, she looks the same as when she's dying.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, no, wait, just go. It's the same as when she's like, no, God, I'm just, It's like, it's the same face.
No, she's got, like, you know.
Oh, I can't wait to see the sex scenes. If they show that, it's going to be the same look. No, It's going to be the exact same look.
Put it in the...
What's going on here? Why is
there
that,
we go? There's the callback.
Feels good or something.
What holiday is this? I've never admittedly.
It's
I've
Kill
never,
the Vampire.
I've never
holiday.
Been to Rome.
It is. No,
they apparently have Kill the Vampire Day
in this little town, according to the story, and it's probably a real town with a made up mythology. In this little town, it's basically this is the celebration of the day that they defeated the vampires. Of course,
right.
No one actually believes in the vampires, but they just like the festival, just like Christmas. This is the day that they defeated the vampires, which, of course, the Volturi think is extremely funny and really enjoy this festival.
Right.
Where do they keep these hoods for the rest of the year?
I don't know.
Like, everybody has one. You're issued one when you move into the town. And or your mom makes one when you turn 13.
And what if you're doing a load of whites and that accidentally gets in there?
Yeah.
Like, then all of your whites
happened
damaged.
To me. They're pretty good these days with the technology of clothing dye, I think.
Really?
Never,
that's why I stopped
I've never
letting,
contaminated
No,
my
that's
clothing.
Why I stopped letting my mom do my laundry when I was 12.
Ah.
I had a pair of...
although, to be fair, it's early on. Like, I start mixing them after I've washed them quite a bit.
I'm friends with the guys who created Tap Out, and most of my jiu-jitsu clothing is Tap Out branded shorts. And I had a pair of white ones that I really, really liked. And early on in me and my wife living together, she washed it with reds, and they're pink now. And I can't ever wear them again.
See, again, this whole thing.
God forbid.
People would turn and look at me like, oh, a homosexual.
Yeah. It's like, oh, first of all,
no,
it
they're
is.
Just, because they're just,
I love
they're
that little
they're
girl. I'm sorry. She's like, he's shiny.
First of all, it is totally a thing where it's like, it's like he saw what Taylor Lautner did. He's like, shit, I better do some sit-ups.
He barely looks happy to see her.
Yeah. There's a lot of
well, and, it, and again, there's a really good thing. I hate to hear myself saying this, but it was a really good thing in the books where he's talking about he feels like he's lost his soul and blah blah blah.
Was she he runs supposed to have had a soul? Did we talk about this?
It's
right.
Unclear how.
Let's
the,
not.
But he doesn't want to turn her because he believes it takes her soul. He believes he's damned and he doesn't want to do that to her. That's where the cock blocking is coming in, or the vag blocking, whatever. Anyway, and so he but.
In the chat, Ewing says, he wants a perfect body. Yeah. He wants a perfect soul.
Fair enough. Well done. But in the
but
book,
he's a creep.
Again, yeah, there is a good moment, or it comes up later. It's like setup and payoff, because she runs up to him and she grabs him and
right.
You know, pushes him back into the shadows where no one's going to see him. And when he opens his eyes, he's like, he assumes he's dead. He assumes mm-hmm. the Volturi have already killed him, and
right.
he's met her in heaven, right?
Right?
And so later on, she brings it up. She's like, when you thought you were dead, you thought you went to heaven, and you didn't question it.
Mm-hmm.
You clearly, at
Ooh.
Some level, still believe you have a soul.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they don't play with it enough. She didn't play with it enough in the book. They don't play with it at all in the movie.
No.
But I thought that was a very good
so
little moment.
So there's literally no theology in the book of, like,
no,
where God fits in this?
No clear
as
theology.
Far as, okay.
Just that he believes there is an afterlife, and there's a good place and a bad place, and he believes
huh.
he's destined for the bad one.
It just... It strikes me as odd that they never address any of that.
Yeah.
Like how to get whichever place.
Right.
Which I think that most theologies are based on.
Usually. But at the same time, he's...
Not all, obviously.
They don't address the soul thing very much with him. It's not very clear what his lack of motivation is
right.
in turning her in the movies as much as it is in the book. So,
where's Dakota Fanning?
She's coming.
That's
she's
right. She's almost here.
She's gone.
Yeah. No, she's the most menacing of all, really.
Yeah.
No, I remember that. I remember that about the movie.
She's actually good. I remember
yeah.
that, like, whoa, you're menacing.
She's one of those. It's just like in the Star Wars movies. You can catch the couple of actors that are like, you're good to a level you don't actually need a director.
There she
You'd
is.
Probably be even better if you
there
had
she
one.
Is.
Is that really her?
Yes,
yep, that's
it
Dakota
is.
Fanning.
Like,
she's old now. Remember,
she's still growing.
Dakota Fanning actually ages. She is a human being.
Right.
And she will get older as
she's
she goes.
People.
Eventually, well, she'll be 20.
I actually just saw The Runaways a couple days ago. And
What?
Yeah, The Runaways.
They're making a live action?
They did, and it's on Netflix streaming.
Say what?
The Runaways, not the comics.
Oh.
The story of Joan Jett and The Runaways.
Okay.
Yeah, she
no,
plays
I
Shuri.
Was, I was
You're thinking
on
of
the
Brian
comics,
K. Vaughan, Joss Whedon comic. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, this is...
broke
the,
my mind for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they are making a movie of that.
I know, never mind.
No, she plays Sherry Curry, and I gotta say, she does a great job. It's tough material too. She you know, kind of gets fondled, and does a lot of drugs, and you know, she handles the material well. I gotta say,
but she does a great job with this character too. She's the one who seems to actually understand what's going on with her character. She's like, because her whole thing is she can cause excruciating pain to anyone she wants.
Hmm.
Yeah,
so,
it's Crucio. She has Crucio.
Exactly.
Crucio,
she
yeah.
has that power just with her mind. So she, you know, the way, like you were talking about, she obviously didn't have a coach on this movie or anything for that, but she actually sat down and went, how would I act if I had this ability?
And
if
I
had
actually
this
used it.
Power, and I used it all the time. I wouldn't be afraid of anyone. I would walk with such incredible confidence and poise. No one's going to talk shit to me, you know, and she brings all of that through she stands and walks. She hardly says anything, but she does a great job.
She's very good. More than most of the other actors, you look at her and you're like, there's a soul in there that's a lot older than that body.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's always been the case with Dakota Fanning, too.
That is true.
You look at Dakota Fanning.
Well, to this,
you look at Dakota Fanning in War of the Worlds. You're like, she's 200 years old.
Right. Well, Natalie Portman, The Professional. You know, you get that. You get that sort of world weary.
That's well, but you know, Dakota probably Natalie Portman too. But Dakota Fanning is someone I've heard interviews about when she's been in movies and stuff, and people are like, it's scary to talk to her because she's like 8. But she talks
highly
to me like she's like a 40-year-old. It's scary.
Right.
Like, it's weird. I've talked to 40-year-olds less mature than her. It's not – it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird because I remember when Interview came out, people were rightly hailing Kirsten Dunst's performance in that as like someone beyond her years.
Yeah.
And she was really good in that.
She is good in that.
I don't quite know what happened. Like, I don't know if just personal life has sort of derailed her, but I don't know.
You know, I think the only other stuff I've really seen her in is the Spider-Man movies, and she just had such she just had such contempt for Spider-Man movies.
She did, yeah.
Really, I think that was the problem.
She didn't like what she was doing.
You didn't see Bring It On?
No.
This is my thing about child actors.
I did see Get Over It, whatever it was called.
I think it's Virgin Suicide. She's legitimately impressive in. Like, she's really, really good, and she does play a sort of beyond her years. She brings a gravitas to it that, you
know. I don't think I've ever seen a child actor that I thought was an excellent actor. I've seen child actors that were better at being an actor younger than other actors. Like, I think it's just that Haley Joel Osment and Dakota Fanning got it.
I think that, well,
they never got any necessarily better. They didn't get to be Ed Norton, Meryl Streep. You know,
well, I don't think that's fair.
They were just that good when they were 8.
We'll have to. Well, yeah, they were that good when they were 8.
You don't notice it when they're 25.
We'll have to see it 20 years from now. I think they're good actors if they're that good when they're 8. I mean, to an extent,
I don't mean they're bad actors when they grow up. I mean, they never get better than that. They just get it sooner.
Maybe. I mean, to an extent, that's true. I mean, that's, you know, the whole thing about IQ tests is like you can have a IQ test is related to how smart you're supposed to be versus how old you are, and as you get older, your IQ goes down and down because you're regressing to the mean, basically. But maybe it's the same way with acting, but I don't know. I think Dakota Fanning is very good in everything I've seen her in, and I would say pretty much the same of Haley Joel Osment, although I haven't seen him in a while, so I don't know.
He's taking some time away, it sounds like.
Yeah.
He did Secondhand Lions, and then he just...
He's in something now. Voice. We talked about this when we did AI, but yeah, he did... he was Sora in Kingdom Hearts. But otherwise,
yeah, she plays that so well. Like, she really kind of.
She's enjoying it, but
no,
you can see she's
subtle,
doing
it's
something.
It's the subtle pleasure.
Yeah.
Of something she understands.
Yeah.
And something she can do well.
Yeah.
If you like, yeah. Anyway.
And that's
it makes sense.
Yeah.
And she's the only person, other than, you know, some of the smaller bit parts, who really understands what she's doing here.
And Michael Sheen, I wish they'd actually made him I love that they cast him. I'm glad.
I
want them to keep him, but I wish, because Aro is the character he's playing, or Arrow. I'm not sure how they pronounce it in this movie. But Aro's the character, and he's supposed to look ancient. He's supposed to be super old and like paper thin and stuff that. But he's still got that sense of power and like you're fucking. Well, the whole thing is he looks so old and fragile, but all the people around him are scared of him. So you're like, what the fuck?
That sounds like an Ian McKellen role.
Maybe, but I
no,
think
it's like the master in Buffy.
Yeah, I would love to. Yes, I would love to see him in like prosthetics playing this role, but looking that way. I think that would have been enhanced it just a little bit more.
It's an old looking person with a young man's posture.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would have been awesome. But not that I have a huge problem with the way he's playing.
And that one guy looks like Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Oh, he managed to protect her without half murdering her this time.
Yeah,
I guess that's character development. Now this again,
I hate the fighting. Like, the fighting does not work for me. Like, this is
I like this.
You couldn't understand vampire.
Why did
fighting.
He crack? I don't get why he cracks.
Yeah, I don't
he
get
does,
that
but he heals.
In the book, well, they've demonstrated as they get injured by other vampires. I guess they do that, and then they heal. But
why would your cheek crack?
They're basically made of marble, I guess. Well, something's got to crack.
Okay, that's the thing that they get into in the third one, which is that they're basically just crystalline.
Yeah.
And so that's how they can have violence, because they're like, oh, we have a third movie where we have to have actually a battle scene at the end. And we have to show a lot of people getting killed, and so then it's just everyone breaks apart.
I like that a little bit, where they occasionally phase into too fast to see, and then it's slow-mos.
I don't mind that.
I will say that, this is better than the book, because the book, like in the last one where it's like it cuts away before he has to restrain himself, the book kind of cock teases you here, because it's like they're going to fight any second, but then they don't actually. It doesn't get to this point, which works in the fourth book. In the fourth book, there's no climactic battle, but the whole thing is they're hashing it out, and it's like on the edge. Like, any wrong move by any side is going to turn into war that will murder everyone.
The Volturi
versus the... I think that works. Here, I don't think that kind of thing works, and I think we needed that kind of fighting. We needed to see Edward stand up for her, at least, you know?
No, I get that they needed to fight. I just, you know...
You don't like the execution?
It's shortcuts.
Who knows a basic amount about chemistry, I have such a huge problem with them being crystalline.
right.
Yeah. Well, never mind.
Yeah, anyway.
They don't have blood and their hearts don't beat. So
they're vampires.
Yeah. Vampires don't... Supernatural things stop making sense when you start thinking about how the world actually
works. I know, but
works.
Once you start trying to justify it, it's like, no. Right. No.
Yeah. So the less you do...
Crystalline. No.
The less you justify it, the better.
No. It's like, we're vampires. The end. We can be killed this way, and this way for reasons. Off. I buy that. If you're like, no, we're crystalline, so it's hard, and you can't beat us this way or this way, and if you do it this way, which would usually shatter crystal, then that won't work because magic. Just say you can't do that.
A very valuable question in the chat.
To be fair, they don't clarify it very much. So that's just us.
If there's no heart, no blood, as someone points out in the chat, how do vampires get erections?
Good question.
With all the
magic. I'll point out that a girl in the chat brought that up.
Nice.
Well,
who is that?
Well, girls always think about penises.
Free.
Well, some primates actually have a bone.
Bella, he's back there. You ran past him. Turn around, Bella. He's right there.
Turn around, Bella.
She's beating him.
Some primates actually have a little bone that extends, and that's how they get an erection.
Yeah, I have.
Maybe the vampires get, you know, the longer teeth. Maybe they get a cock bone. Who knows?
Maybe they just, like, devolve a little bit.
Yeah.
Along with the not being alive.
Or maybe they just have an erection all the time. They're made of crystal. What's harder than that? They have a constant hard-on.
Like lead crystal or Swarovski? Or how does this
kind
work?
Of crystal?
Or diamond. I'll say
how
diamond.
How the fuck do you know that, Ewing wants to know?
Which part?
I don't know.
The
boner bone?
The boner bone.
Yeah.
It's
science.
It's science.
I learned it on Jeopardy.
Yeah, I learned it exactly. I learned it on Jeopardy. I think I was listening to the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, and they were talking about
this bone present in primates allows them to have erections without having a sheath of. Yeah. What is the boner bone?
They were talking about the
For 400.
The curiosity of the fact that we evolved.
All of them people gonna get eaten.
We evolved away from having that. It got more difficult.
Those kids, yeah, they're all gonna die.
Yes.
Why are they going to the?
Because they were told it was a tour.
They're on a tour.
They're all gonna get murdered.
Yes.
And she totally just watches that happen.
She watches that happen, but again, in the book,
like, here,
she is
come
actually
see the
horrified.
Catacombs.
Yeah.
You are food for today.
In the book, she's properly horrified.
Won't
in this, she's just kind of like...
people be missing, or I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a pretty massive crime, like, to for local authorities to...
They are the law.
Italian police? Really?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Italian police are like, ciao. But anyway,
here we are.
So, yeah, she just had a it does kind of – there were like 24 people that just got that just walked into that room and got murdered. It kind of doesn't encompass the scope and tragedy of the thing when she has the same level of reaction to that as dreams about being broken up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Which is why this offends me on such a fundamental level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, I'm really feeling the length on this movie.
Yeah, this one's
almost done.
Longer.
It is almost
it
done,
is.
To be
but
fair.
But a lot of that,
but I don't feel
we're
like
losing
we
the length
anything.
At around the same time.
I don't feel
time.
Like we resolved anything.
That's right. Yeah.
They're back together, at least.
I mean, I was going to say,
yay!
You know, We're seeing it here, and we don't have subtitles, obviously, and a lot of this is all in, you know, the character relationships. That's what this movie is about, but, man, this is a lot of scenes of people just looking at each other and talking.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part.
Her poor father.
It's episode 3.
Yeah.
That guy cares, and he gets fucked with so hard, and he doesn't know what's going on, and he's trying, and there's no mom.
But to be fair, the mom is crazy.
Do we know about the mom? I don't know anything.
In the book, she's so flighty and just all
Know where she gets it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She looks down on her mom. She considers herself to be the one that takes care of her mom.
Damn, bitches.
In this situation.
Because she sucks a lot.
She did not have a good female role model, I guess.
It's
fair to say. But to be fair about, you know, people sitting
Wolf
around talking, it's like if we did a movie about, you know, that was just a character drama of characters kind of talking to each other and stuff like that. If we didn't have the subtitles on, we didn't have it memorized, that'd probably be hard to necessarily keep up with too, because that's mostly talking as well. So, you know,
yeah.
These are not necessarily visual films.
I know, I'm not saying that's like a symptomatic, like, oh, that means it's a bad movie.
Right.
Because a movie doesn't need to be that way, obviously.
That's a bit of a wobbly camera just then. The camera's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right.
Nope.
Anyway, the camera's shaking its head. Don't do it!
No!
Team Jacob! Nope, they're going to kiss.
Oh, hey, they do a thing.
There we go.
They're touching, like in grown-up ways.
Wow, yeah. So what they end up doing...
Their mouth fucking!
Their mouth touching.
They're pressing the sweet end of 62 feet of intestine up against each other.
Yeah.
Oh.
That is the sweet end.
Yeah, that really is.
But anyway.
Let's not. Okay.
That's what it makes... I mean, that's about as romantic as what I'm feeling right now. So it's like, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
The same portal you use to ingest food and vomit is being mashed up against a similar one.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
That, to be fair, that's how romantic I generally feel all the time. Single ladies.
yeah. The internets.
Oh, anyway.
What Michael Dorkman Scott, ladies.
It really is, though. That's generally how romantic I am.
Like, oh, wait, this is when
really
they're...
ridiculous.
She's
silly.
Being voted into the family. It's very touching.
Oh, voted in.
Do they
yes.
use white marbles and black ones? Or
No. They're just stupid.
She just arbitrarily chooses.
They either hug her or look at her all sassy like and say, yeah, I guess that's okay.
I would have loved it if, like, yay, you're part of the family. And then, like, outside the window, you just see the dad standing there just. Sad.
I guess my 18 years of raising you doesn't mean anything.
Well, my work here is done.
You mean I just had to vote on it? Nay!
In the chat, Doc Submarine says, not 3 hours ago, Darkman was saying how these movies got better as they went. Now...
Well, I think you're saying the books.
The books got better.
I do think the movies do progressively get better as well. I think Eclipse is a better movie all around, but... It's we don't have subtitles. It's hard to talk about what they're talking about. It's hard to react to what's going on the screen sometimes.
We didn't have subtitles on The Prestige either, and that was way more engaging.
Okay,
than
I guess that's
that had Lightning, Tesla, Andy Serkis, Hugh Jackman, and Batman.
Yeah.
Here we
my God, we're getting into the computer skipping.
Here we go.
Even iTunes is like, fuck this. Stop.
I'm making a judgment call for you humans.
Yeah. I will save you from this.
Team Jacob.
I've lost my soul. You don't have to.
Peter Facinelli, most fondly remembered for Can't Hardly Wait. And,
what was he in that?
He was like the Jennifer Love Hewitt, like the boyfriend that Jennifer Love Hewitt leaves to be with the nerdy kid who's into Kurt Vonnegut.
I do like that they got a young guy for it, though.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
No, not much older than any of the rest of these guys.
He's married to Jenny Garth. That's like his only other sort of celebrity type thing.
She was someone, right? Who's she?
Jenny Garth, 90210.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Fun story. I literally almost
right.
killed her.
Really?
Almost killed her?
On purpose?
Yeah. No. No. But
I would like to hear about that for the last 10 minutes.
Last 10 minutes. My very first job in the industry, I was 20 years old. I had just moved back from Hawaii. I was working as a PA for a company called Imagecraft. We got rented out to various things that came to LA. And one of the shows I worked on pretty consistently was an MTV show called Fanatic, where... they find the biggest fan of somebody to then get interviewed. They get flown out to wherever, and then they get to interview the celebrity that they really love. This one chick was a huge Danny Garth fan. Some poor producing decisions. And then they do an interview. And then they hang out and do something special. So for the interview section, the only place we could do it was the balcony at one of the rooms, I think at the Marmont. And it was a really narrow balcony. And it was a two-camera shoot, and I was pulling cable. And we had Jenny Garth on one side and the person who interviewed him on the other. I was pulling cable, and I was, like, literally squatting, like, down by knee level of where the two cameramen were. Because we had two 1K set up lights and then sound guys, and, like, it was just this big mess. And I was just literally, like, the fucking troll, like, you know, I'm down here, sir, you know, pulling cable. They asked me to connect a BNC to something. I stand up. I turn. My ass knocks Jenny Garth in the knees and as she's leaning against a railing of this balcony, and I literally almost send her flying. She was a wonderful sport about it. She laughed about it, but it was like the cameraman, for the rest of the time, they were like, you almost fucking killed Jenny Garth. Like, you almost sent her over a fucking rail. So that's my killed Jenny Garth story.
Well done.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
I walked square
had,
into
exactly,
Kenny.
Exactly. That had a beginning, middle, and end.
I walked square into Tension. Kenny Baker at C2. Rounded a corner. He was rounding a corner. He was about dick height, and I hit him with it. Boom! Hit the ground. I was like, shit, I just killed R2-D2. And he cursed at me like it was fucking adorable.
Did he make that hype?
What the fuck? I love tiny British men cursing. But seriously,
you were a robot! Beep for me! Get in my garbage can! Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that happened.
Get in my garbage can. Get in my garbage can. I'm carrying this with me just so I could meet you. Get in there and beep.
I was going to trap you with it, but now you're here. Let's just, you know. Let's just
look, I won't tell anyone if you don't.
It's like catching a snake. You put him in the trash bag. You spin him around a couple times. Got him. I got to catch them all, man.
I like that.
Man.
Turned into a wolf.
It's a good looking wolf, though.
Pretty good.
Totally didn't need to punch him.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's basically like, I'm staying with Edward for reasons.
But that's Edward's battle stance. He looks like Doctor Strange about to conjure something. Like, yeah. God.
Haha, wait for it. I'm going to hit you with some sparkle motion. That almost looks like the poster.
Hands. Yeah.
That CG wolf emoted better than half the performances in this movie.
Yeah.
Like that.
I got to say, I got to agree with that.
The sort of consigned, you know, I don't want to do this, but I got it. I felt it. Thank you, CG Wolf.
Yeah. Well done, CG Wolf, and the persons behind it.
Thank you for that, and Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah,
exactly.
And how do you guys feel about...
This movie just races to its conclusion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just sort of...
It sure does, and it really ends on a bang.
What is the
conclusion? Visually spectacular. He says
you have to marry me, and it cuts the credits.
Yeah.
And it cuts to black.
You want me to bang you? You got to put the ring on it.
Yeah, it blows my mind. She's like, yeah, I'll spend the rest of my life with you being immortal. Whatever, that's forever. Marry you. Whoa, buddy.
Yeah, is actually a really weird thing in the books as well. She's like, yeah, eternity would be great. Marriage. Whoa.
I'm not ready for that kind of commitment.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't even have a joint checking account.
To be fair, she does. The one attempt that's made. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying there is an attempt made. Is basically her one of the things about, you know, she feels like she takes care of her mom and blah, blah, blah. Her mom got married at a really young age because she got knocked up. She doesn't want to be her mom.
I don't know.
I don't know if I'm not defending it. I'm just saying.
If I get confronted with an immortal vampire, I think all bets are off the table.
Yeah.
Unlearn what you learned.
Yeah.
That would have helped us understand her motivations. And
at least a little bit.
All she's using it for is trying to use it as leverage to get him to bite her. She's like, okay, I won't marry you until you make me a vampire.
She should just take the inside of her wrist and just rub it against his mouth all the time. Want it.
Oh, he doesn't sleep, though. Damn, she used to catch him off guard and then just jam her wrist, like punch him in the mouth with her wrist.
Yeah.
She
rolls him onto his stomach. Yeah, you're going to bite this wrist. He's like, no, yeah. I don't want to. And then she like forces his head onto the wrist.
Yeah.
And
we made it.
Like I said at the outset.
All right.
New Moon, I prefer Twilight. New Moon doesn't really start, doesn't really end. It just sort of meanders, and it meanders for a fucking long time.
Eddie was saying earlier on that credit, the quotes that are around New Moon should be around novel.
Based on the quote,
based on
the
novel. New Moon by Stephanie Meyer.
Anyway.
Based on this collection of hieroglyphs on a page that resemble letters.
Yeah.
This is what I expected Twilight to be.
Mm.
meh.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it. I'm not saying Twilight's great, but Twilight's kind of great.
Comparatively.
This movie doesn't really work for me at all. Eddie?
Yeah, I mean, the Twilight, at least you can sort of, like, watch on a Saturday afternoon if it's on, and, like, you can...
You're kind of horny and tired, and
you can laugh at, like, the odd, like, it's like, you're cleaning, but, like, oh, shit, he's about to make that stupid face when he sees her. I'll stop for a second and watch it. Okay, now I'm going back to cleaning. This has no benefits for anything. As far as I'm concerned, I haven't seen Twilight, or I haven't seen Eclipse, so I can't... I know there's, like, more fighting in that
one. Have you seen clips from Eclipse?
No, I've seen a couple, just a couple like trailer moments, but nothing really major. This movie, I mean, every fundamental problem I have with the character of Bella Swan is exacerbated in this.
Her last name is Swan? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bella Swan. And then you throw on a meandering plot with no real conclusion in my mind and sort of this milquetoast ending. It's not good, man. Not good at all.
Michael Dorkman Scott, you look exhausted.
I am exhausted. I pretty much agree with that. I have, you know, there are some, there's a redeeming quality in that there's a lot of people with their shirts off in this movie. But other than that, it's not particularly watchable, and, you know, there's an internet for that. So, again, compared to the books, I was like, things are improving pretty well. And to be fair, again, we didn't have the subtitles on, so it's not like we could really follow
necessarily
what's going on.
That's what's happening right now.
But anyway, it's not like I would you know, buy the set on Blu-ray to try and have all these movies. But again, I don't think this series is necessarily as bad as the rap it gets because of its fans. You know, to be fair,
Ryan, New Moon.
Yeah, I agree with what Mike said, and I will defend it to a certain degree because I think that, the experience of watching it without subtitles...
Your recap should be faster and more intense.
You're taking away everything that is really inherent about the movie, like what is actually happening in the movie. You're excising the plot and you're just looking at pictures of people talking at each other. That being said... Knowing what's happening, more or less, and watching it the second time around, it did not hold up as well in terms of like, well, yeah, boy, there's no replay value here at all. I think that's really the key thing.
I agree with that.
This is really like actually
this is
I said
a supplement.
It's what I said in the first one, which is like this is like a TV show where you're meant to just keep watching it, and then the next thing happens, and then you catch it next week, and then okay, that happened, and then all right, you know, it's not. It's not hold up, and the first one gets a little bit of that because it's the origin story. You know, it's like all the superhero movies. It's kind of like it's the beginning of it, so it's more – everything is more important, which makes it more inherently interesting to watch. That being said, still not engaged with the characters really. It's all about relationships. Whatever, you know.
Wow. That was New Moon, and this has been Down in Front. You can find more episodes at downinfront.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Get a brand new episode every single week. Twitter.com/downinfront. Facebook, Down in Front Show. Email us at downinfrontshow@gmail.com. Go to the forum. Involve yourself in the conversation. There, we link to the live shows that happen every week at downinfront.net/live, so you can be here in the chat room and contribute to the conversation as these people have today. You can buy this on, DVD. We get a buck. You can buy one of our shirts. We get like $1,000. And if you don't feel like buying damn shit... We have a PayPal button. Not asking, just saying. Thank you very much to Holden Hill. We're now on the Android Marketplace because of him. He also maintains the website. Matt Vedavita did the chapter breaks and show notes on iTunes. My name is T. Christie.
Eddie Doty.
Mike Scott.
Ryan Weaver. Fuck it!